Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Killark Powerhouse is a substation of Northern California Power Company located on Old Cow Creek near Whitmore. It was built to supply additional power to Keswick and Mountain Copper Company. And as a backup power plant for the Volta Powerhouse, it began generating power in 1904, operated 24 hours a day. On the grounds were the foreman's two-story stone house plus two other houses, a nine-bedroom clubhouse usually occupied by single men, a horse barn, and a dance hall upstairs and a swimming pool. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN. So should you. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, so yesterday was a day of panic. Panic! Because the Supreme Court of the United States held that the Voting Rights Act, which is a very, very far-reaching and historic measure in American law, going all the way back to 1965, it was designed to prevent attempts to essentially keep the vestiges of segregation in the South after the Civil Rights Act and prevent black people from voting. It was meant to stop those procedures from happening in the South. It required southern states particularly to go through a process known as preclearance, in which their voting laws were basically precleared by the federal government. And the idea was that over time, as the country got less racist and as states began to see better representation of black voters who historically had been discriminated against at the polls, that the Voting Rights Act would start to diminish over time in the same way that we saw the Supreme Court say in the 1970s that affirmative action would start to wane over time. And this has always been sort of dicey constitutional territory because on its face, the Voting Rights Act does seize authority from the states and bring it up to the level of the federal government. And so the more broadly you interpret the Voting Rights Act, the more permanently you interpret the Voting Rights Act, the more it seems to come into conflict with the Constitution. The same thing happens to hold true with regard to affirmative action, as the Supreme Court has found over and over. They keep saying, well, it's sort of a temporary measure. Yeah, we understand that it violates the Equal Protection Clause, but we need it in order to redress historic wrongs. And now the Supreme Court has come up with sort of new justifications for why it's okay to discriminate in admissions on the basis of race. Now they say diversity is its own excuse and all this. Well, the Voting Rights Act was never meant to be a way of cramming down federal rules on states that had discriminated for all time. And we are now 60 years removed from the Voting Rights Act, almost 60 years removed because it passed again in 1965. It is now almost 2025, so it's almost three generations later. And the left is still insisting that voter discrimination is a massive problem in the United States. The evidence of this is extremely scanty. The notion that black and Hispanic voters in the United States, but particularly black voters, are being discriminated against and prevented from voting is just not true. Okay, the belief that huge numbers of black voters are being disenfranchised is a lie. It is trotted out by the Democratic Party in order to jog voter turnout in the black community. The reality is that Barack Obama basically won in 2012 because black voters in places like Ohio showed up in numbers that out-tallied the percentage of the population. The reality is that black voters showed up en masse this last election cycle in places like Georgia, for example. So the belief that red states have been shutting the doors to black voters or discriminating against black voters is extremely it is not based in evidence. It really is not based in evidence at this point. Okay, so there was a voter law in Arizona. It was passed in 2018. And what it cracked down on is essentially two things. One was voting out of precinct. And if you voted outside your precinct, then your ballot got tossed because you have usually a place where you're supposed to vote, and it's very difficult to match you up to your vote if you're voting outside your precinct. If I drove over to Naples today and I decided I was going to vote in Naples as opposed to voting where I live, well, then that would be a serious problem. It'd be difficult to match up my ballot to the place where I live. And so Arizona cracked down on that, and they also cracked down on the most corrupt practice in modern American politics, ballot harvesting. Ballot harvesting is this practice where you deploy members of your party to go pick up ballots from third parties. So you are the Republican Party chairman, and you say to your worker, I want you to only go to houses that have historically voted Republican. I want you to pick up their ballots, and I want you to drive them to the ballot box. And well, this presents a couple of problems. One, basically, whichever side is better funded in terms of who picks up more ballots that day is going to win. Because you just walk up to the door, you say, oh, did you forget to vote today? You don't go to the next door neighbor. You say, oh, did you forget to vote today? Well, I'm here to help you vote today. Two, Is it really a stretch of the imagination to believe that when you ballot harvest on behalf of a party and you're a party activist and you have access to a bunch of ballots that you have specifically picked up, that you're not going to go in the back and just mark off a few boxes? In fact, this is a major problem in North Carolina in a Republican district. Somebody hired a Republican voter outfit, and this is exactly what they did. They had to rerun the election. Okay, so ballot harvesting has been a major problem. It's been a major problem in California. In 2018, for example, Democrats swept a bunch of seats in Orange County that looked as though they were red seats, specifically because they went out and they ballot harvested. So ballot harvesting is extremely corrupt. It is rife with the potential for fraud, and Arizona cracked down on it. So the Democrats sued. They said that it was a discriminatory law. They said it violated the Voting Rights Act because it prevented black and Hispanic people from voting in a way that it didn't prevent white people from voting. Now, the problem for them is that it was a facially neutral law. The law applied to everybody. You can't vote out of precinct. Doesn't matter your race. And the other problem is that everybody still got the vote. So it's very difficult to make the claim that this was specifically directed at black and Hispanic voters. You could say that it was attempting to crack down on Democratic voting practices at which they had an advantage, that ballot harvesting had been used to great advantage by Democrats, and Republicans were now fighting back against that. But that's not unusual, right? That is true throughout American voting law. Whenever Democrats take control of the legislature, they proceed to gerrymander the entire state in alignment with Democratic voting interests. And when Republicans take advantage of a legislature, then they do the exact same thing. They proceed to reverse gerrymander. So the sort of interplay over voting law has been a long-time feature of American politics. None of that is banned. Right? Changing voting procedures such that it seems to help your party in one way or another. I mean, this is what Democrats are now attempting to do at the federal level, right? There's a reason why Democrats are pushing ballot harvesting at both the state and the federal level, and Republicans are pushing back against it. And it's not because Democrats just want more people to vote. And I'm not seeing Democrats really push super hard in highly red areas for ballot harvesting, for example. It seems like they're doing this mostly on behalf of purple and blue states. But the real ban is on voting procedures that are designed to disenfranchise black people. That's what the Voting Rights Act is about. So the Supreme Court looked at the Arizona law and they said, no, this is not violative of the Voting Rights Act. And the dissent in this particular is a 6-3 ruling in which all of the Republican appointees voted one way and all the Democratic appointees voted the other. It's the first kind of major 6-3 ruling that we've seen in a while, because usually Roberts tends to vote with the Democrats on sort of 6-3 rulings, or he tries to water down the decision so as to get a couple more Democratic votes, which we've seen a few times here. Unanimous decisions that didn't have to be unanimous, but Roberts made them unanimous and watered down the decision in order to achieve the unanimous vote and limit the scope of the decision, for example. Okay, on this one, it went almost straight party line appointment. And the Democrats basically now claim that any law that has quote-unquote disparate impact is unconstitutional under the Voting Rights Act, which is pretty wild, because most laws have some sort of disparate impact. It turns out the disparate impact in this particular case is minute, statistically speaking. It doesn't matter. And so, according to Democrats, this is a racist decision. It is the racist Republican majority on the Supreme Court who are cramming down a violation of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Instead, the Supreme Court should read the Voting Rights Act as broadly as possible, according to the dissent, in order to rule out a huge bevy of Republican-led attempts to shore up voting procedures that may disproportionately affect black and brown voters, even though they are facially neutral and, in fact, neutrally applied. Right? This is the argument that you hear from Democrats until the last 5 minutes, that voter ID is racist, because they say, well, you know, that'll disenfranchise more black and brown people. And most Americans are like, well, no, everybody can go get an ID. But Democrats say, well, statistically, fewer black and brown people have IDs than white people. Therefore, it is discriminatory. That's the kind of logic that the dissent uses, written by Elena Kagan, in this particular Supreme Court case. Because for Democrats, everything now boils down to a core voter theory. That voter theory is the way they're going to win future elections is by cobbling together a coalition of the supposedly dispossessed to overcome the fading white majority. This has been a theory, again, it's the most dangerous theory in American politics, that demography is destiny. It is a theory that is pushed alternatively by the mainstream left and the alt-right. It is a lie. It is not true. But Democrats have bought into this full scale because it proposes that as the country gets browner, inevitably, Democrats will not only win a majority, but they will keep a majority no matter what, and that the majority will rule for all time. The demography is destiny argument that Democrats make is basically a utopian argument. It's a millenarian argument. We are going to reach the end of history at a point when we cobble together enough of a coalition of the dispossessed that we will never lose another election. And thus, the only thing that could be preventing that right now is voter suppression efforts on behalf of Republicans, which serves a couple of purposes. One, it allows them to keep this illusion of the new politics in their mind. And two, it allows them to lie to minority voters and tell them that Republicans are attempting to prevent them from voting in the first place, which, of course, is not true. Okay, so according to the New York Times, the Supreme Court on Thursday gave states new latitude to impose restrictions on voting. No, they really didn't. Using a ruling in a new case from Arizona to signal that challenges to laws being passed by Republican legislatures and make it harder for minority groups to vote would face a hostile reception from a majority of the justices. The New York Times is so unbelievably biased. That is not what the court says. What the court says is if you want to show discrimination in law, you have to show discrimination in law. You can't just allege that because a law has a disparate impact, that means that the law itself is racist. Every single law that has ever been passed in the United States affects some groups differently than others. Every single law. That does not mean that the law is invalid under either the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act. Okay, what the dissent would like, what Democrats would like, is to have essentially a super legislature at the Supreme Court level that strike down all laws made by red state legislatures and greenlights all discriminatory measures taken by blue state legislatures. That really is the goal here. The vote was 6-3, the court's three liberal members in dissent. According to the New York Times, the decision was among the most consequential in decades on voting rights. It was the first time the court had considered how a crucial part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 applies to restrictions that have a particular impact on people of color. But it doesn't have a particular impact on people of color. This is one of the points that the majority opinion makes. They say, looking at this statistically, the impact on minority voters is minimal. Justice Samuel Alito wrote for the majority, said, where a state provides multiple ways to vote, any burden imposed on voters who choose one of the available options cannot be evaluated without also taking into account the other available means. In other words, if the state says you can vote 10 different ways, and one of the ways happens to have disparate impact, there's still 9 other ways for you to vote. So you really can't say that this one right here, this right here, is designed in order to prevent black and brown people from voting. Meanwhile, Justice Elena Kagan wrote the dissent, said, wherever it can, the majority gives a cramped reading to broad language. But here's the point. The broader the language of the VRA, the more broadly you interpret the language of the VRA, the closer it comes to violating the constitutional provision that states get to run their own elections. If you are attempting to read the Voting Rights Act in order to give the federal government complete purview over all voting procedures simply on the basis of an extremely statistically minute disparate impact, you are basically just getting rid of state ability at all to make its own voting procedures, which violates the Constitution itself. Justice Kagan said that the court's action was a devastating blow to the nation's ideal. She says, what is tragic here is that the court has yet again rewritten in order to weaken a statute that stands as a monument to America's greatness and protects against its basest impulses. What is tragic is that this court has damaged a statute designed to bring about, quote, the end of discrimination in voting. Well, again, the statute was designed to do that. The statute has largely accomplished it. And at a certain point, you're going to have to decide whether you just want to be in control. What Elena Kagan and the Democrats would like is to be in control of all voting procedures on the federal level. So Democrats are using this as an opportunity to push their Equal Rights Act, their Voting Rights Act, their new voting legislation, the John Lewis Act. And that, of course, is an unconstitutional piece of legislation that federalizes all voting procedure. You can see the Democratic agenda. Call things racist, because if you call them racist, then you get to federalize the procedure. But that's not what this case is about. This case simply said that some pretty basic voting requirements having a slightly disparate impact over the course of millions of voters does not mean that this thing was designed to be discriminatory or, in fact, is a discriminatory piece of law. I will go through a little bit more of the decision in a second because it's kind of important. Because, again, the entire Democratic case these days seems to boil down to everything I don't like is racist and therefore give me control. We'll get to more of that in just 1 second. First, this summer, it's going to be good times. Things are opening up. You can have fun again. And when you're on the move, you need a great pair of wireless earbuds. This is why you need your Raycons. A pair of wireless earbuds from Raycon in your ears can make all the difference. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great. They feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors. They've got the customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. A lot of the other models, it's kind of one size fits all. Well, if it doesn't fit your ear properly, we'll have no such problems with my friends at Raycon. Raycons are built to go wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. Listen up. Right now, Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you've got to do to go get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Ben. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, that's buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Get a great pair of wireless earbuds when you go to buyraycon.com/Ben. Get a pair, get a spare. Buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off a great pair of wireless earbuds that are going to make your summer days that much better. Already coming up, we'll get into the actual details of the Supreme Court decision, which found that neutral voting laws are not in fact racist. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Mojo would swallow things whole. A chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
The world needs more heroes, more action-oriented do-gooders, more here's how I can help right-hand men and women. The world of sarcoma is no different. And if you're thinking, what is sarcoma? We're glad you're listening. Sarcoma is a rare cancer of the body's soft tissue and bone, a cancer affecting tens of thousands of Americans every year. A cancer that has more than 70 subtypes, many of which require unique treatment options at various stages of discovery. And we lose thousands of lives to sarcoma in the U.S. on a yearly basis. The Sarcoma Foundation of America partners with heroes, do-gooders, and helpers from all walks of life to advocate for sarcoma patients through funded research and widespread awareness efforts. New and more effective sarcoma therapies are out there. We just need to work together to discover them and find a cure for this cancer once and for all. Now is the time to step up and fight the good fight against sarcoma. Join forces by visiting curesarcoma.org to learn more.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, let's get into the actual Supreme Court decision, what they had to say about Arizona's new voting law. The Supreme Court majority points out that the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is not supposed to be an unlimited guarantee that the federal government gets to run all voting procedure. According to the court decision, the court first construed the current version of Section 2 in a case called Thornburg versus Gingles, which was a vote dilution case where the court took its cue from Section 2's legislative history. The court's many subsequent vote dilution cases have followed the path that Gingles charted because the court here considers for the first time how Section 2 applies to generally applicable time, place, or manner voting rules. It is appropriate to take a fresh look at the statutory text. In 1982, Congress amended the language in Section 2 that had been interpreted to require proof of discriminatory intent by a plurality of the court in Mobile versus Bolden. In place of that language, Section 2A now uses the phrase in a manner which results in a denial or abridgment of the right to vote on account of race or color. Right? It's denying or abridging on account of race or color, right? Because of race or color. Then Section 2B states that Section 2 is violated only where the political processes leading to nomination or election are not, quote, equally open to participation by members of the relevant protected groups, in that its members have less opportunity than other members of the electorate to participate in the political process and to elect representatives of their choice. In that section, the phrase in that is used to specify the respect in which a statement is true. Thus, equal openness and equal opportunity are not separate requirements. Instead, it appears the core of 2B is the requirement that voting be equally open. The statute's reference to equal opportunity may stretch that concept to some degree to include consideration of a person's ability to use the means that are equally open, but equal openness remains the touchstone. In other words, if you have the ability to vote, then the fact that you chose not to vote in one way doesn't mean that you can't vote in another way. Another important feature, says the court, is the totality of the circumstances requirement. Any circumstance that has a logical bearing on whether voting is equally open and affords equal opportunity may be considered. Okay, then they take a look at sort of how the Arizona law applies here. And what they point here is that having to identify one's polling place and then travel there does not exceed the usual burdens of voting. In addition, Arizona made extensive efforts to reduce the impact of the out-of-precinct policy on the number of valid votes ultimately cast by sending a sample ballot to each household that includes a voter's proper polling location. The burdens of identifying and traveling to one's assigned precinct are also modest when considering Arizona's political processes as a whole. The state offers other easy ways to vote, which likely explains why out-of-precinct votes on Election Day make up such a small and apparently diminishing portion of overall ballots cast. Also, the racial disparity in burdens allegedly caused by the out-of-precinct policy is small in absolute terms. Of the Arizona counties that reported out-of-precinct ballots in the 2016 general election, a little over 1% of Hispanic voters, 1% of African-American voters, and 1% of Native American voters who voted on Election Day cast an out-of-ballot precinct ballot. For non-minority voters, the rate was around 0.5%. A procedure that appears to work for 98% or more of voters to whom it applies, minority and non-minority alike, is unlikely to render a system unequally open. That is simply true. I mean, at what point do you start to say that a law's disparate impact starts to look racist? Not at the difference between 1% and 0.5%. I mean, that literally means that 99% of the black, Hispanic, and Native American people who cast ballots in this particular way in Arizona, and again, remember that this is a very small number of people, that number is obviously not, the difference between 1% and 0.5% is obviously not going to be the big difference maker here. Okay, but according to the court, according to the dissent and according to Democrats, as long as there is any distinction in the outcome, that means that racism has happened. Now, what this has driven is, of course, the Democrats who suggest that the Supreme Court is a repository of racism, etc. So President Biden tweeted out, "Today's decision by the Supreme Court undercuts voting rights in this country and makes it all the more crucial to pass the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act to respond to and expand the voting protection. Our democracy depends on it." Our democracy does not depend on it. That man just got 80 million votes. That man just won a bunch of states he was not supposed to win. Our democracy absolutely does not depend on you federalizing all voting procedures. But again, this is the pitch. This is constantly the pitch. Okay, Joy Reid did the same. She says, "A violent blow against democracy." Okay, so let me just get this straight. To say that ballot harvesting is not allowed in a state, again, it's a very corrupt, fraud-ridden voting procedure, and to say that you have to vote in the precinct to which you are assigned, this apparently is a threat to democracy. Everything, according to the left, is a threat to democracy. Everything. So long as they believe that it's going to cut against them. That's always and forever. It is truly amazing to me that we have gone through 6 months, 8 months of people going crazy over Donald Trump suggesting that the election was stolen, stop the steal, that voter fraud decided the election, which is untrue. And the exact same people say that widespread evidence of voter suppression and racism in voting procedures remains a pressing issue in the United States. There is less evidence of the latter than there is of the former, and there's very little evidence of either. Here is Joy Reid saying what Joy Reid does.
In a 6-3 ruling written by Samuel Alito, the most reliably conservative justice, the Supreme Court dealt another violent blow against democracy by upholding two restrictive Arizona voting laws, forbidding the collection of absentee ballots by anyone other than family or caregivers, and allowing the tossing of ballots inadvertently cast in the wrong precinct. It's the latest notch in the belt of Chief Justice John Roberts, whose life's work, really, since his days as an influential aide in the Reagan Justice Department, has been to destroy the landmark 1965 Voting Rights Act.
Okay, understand, the Voting Rights Act was specifically designed for a time and a place, in the same way that many of the provisions of the Civil Rights Act were designed for a time and a place, and affirmative action was designed for a time and a place. That place was 1964, 1965 America. It was not designed to suggest that every voting procedure undertaken in a red state in the South has to be scrutinized by the federal government 3 generations later. Okay, but this is a political argument. It's not an illegal argument. What Elena Kagan would like, she sets no standards in her dissent, by the way. Her dissent basically says, whenever we decide that we don't like a voting procedure, we'll just say it violates the VRA, and then we'll throw it out. And the court in this case said, no, you actually have to show evidence that this was designed in order to hurt black people. The DNC did not show that in this particular case, and thus the DNC lost. Alrighty, coming up, Nicole Hannah-Jones, prevaricator extraordinaire, has now received tenure at the University of North Carolina. I'll tell you why I'm happy about that in just a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Flatline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Nicole Hannah-Jones, professional liar, has now received tenure at the University of North Carolina. I'm kind of happy about it, to be honest. Now, I said for a long time, I've become an accelerationist when it comes to universities and colleges. When it comes to universities and colleges, I think that basically the colleges should embrace the most radical points of view. They should enshrine them. And then everybody who recruits for a business should just start ignoring college degrees. We at Daily Wire do not take college degrees into account when it comes to hiring. Right? We'll hire, if you have qualifications, if you have work experience, we will hire you whether you went to high school, whether you went to college, we don't care. We would be hypocrites to do anything less. My business partner, Jeremy Boring, never graduated from college. I went to Harvard Law School. Okay, our educational degrees are quite disparate. Our business partnership remains intact. Okay, the very silly notion that if you get a degree from the University of North Carolina, that this somehow qualifies you to actually do anything in life if you are a liberal arts major or somebody who studied with Nicole Hannah-Jones is absurd on its face. No, by the way, note going out to all major Republican donors to the University of North Carolina, this is where your money is going. Understand that your money is now going, your donations. You may love the Tar Heels, but your donation is now going to pay Nicole Hannah-Jones' salary. You should think about that before you sign the check. Think about what you would wish to subsidize with your dollars. Okay, NBC News reports in a 9-4 vote, the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill on Wednesday approved tenure for Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones. Now, Nicole Hannah-Jones is a professional liar and prevaricator. She has no academic credentials that would qualify her for a tenure-track position at a major university. She has... I'm not qualified for a tenure-track position at a major university, and I actually have more degrees than she does. Okay, the vote Wednesday after a closed session comes after a controversy over why Hannah-Jones was not offered tenure in her appointment at the Hussman School of Journalism. And the answer is pretty much no one is offered tenure right off the bat. Typically, you are on tenure-track, and then you earn tenure. But originally, she was supposed to be given tenure just straight off the bat at the Hussman School of Journalism, which means you can't fire her ever. Hannah-Jones said that Wednesday's outcome was about more than her, of course. Of course. Because everything with Hannah-Jones is about more than her. The fight is about ensuring the journalistic and academic freedom of black writers, researchers, teachers, and students, she said. We must ensure our work is protected and able to proceed free from the risk of repercussions, and we are not there yet. Really? It seems we're not there yet? Because you are utterly unqualified to have ever been offered this position. You lied in the 1619 Project repeatedly. You treat people who disagree with you academically like garbage. You're extraordinarily radical. And yet somehow you have not only been celebrated by our culture, you have been handed basically the editorship of the New York Times now, as well as a tenure track position, not tenure track, a tenured position at the University of North Carolina. It sounds like your systemic racism is working very poorly in the United States, I must say. It's working truly terribly. Because it seems like the institutions of the United States that are most powerful are too busy honoring Nicole Hannah-Jones to ask simple questions like, does she know what the hell she's talking about? By the way, Nicole Hannah-Jones, again, one of our great racial geniuses. So she did an interview in which she explained that actually, racial violence is good. Nobody should be surprised about this. She celebrated racial violence last year in the middle of the pandemic when there were riots happening in America's major cities. People tweeted out that these were the 1619 riots, and she basically said, I hope so. The truth is Nicole Hannah-Jones has been propagating lies and misinformation for years. I mean, Nicole Hannah-Jones last year was suggesting that violence in the streets is a good thing.
The civil rights movement leads to this massive civil rights legislation being passed, the 64 Civil Rights Act and the 65 Voting Rights Act. And at the same time, urban ghettos all across the North are going up in flames. People are having uprisings. And folks were so confused because there's this huge expansion of black rights happening. But they aren't doing anything about the living conditions of black people on the ground in northern cities. And those people realized that nonviolent protest was not going to resolve the issues that they were facing.
Oh, nonviolent protest is not what actually resolved the civil rights movement. It was actually giant riots in major American cities, which actually, as studies demonstrate, according to David Shore, who basically had his career ended by people like Nicole Hannah-Jones, who decided he couldn't even mention this. He pointed out that riots actually cut against the interests of the people who are rioting. It turns out most Americans don't like rioters. They're not fans. And it turns out that the Watts riots and the Detroit riots, it actually not only inhibited racial progress in those cities, it actually emptied out large parts of those cities in the first place. Here's Nicole Hannah-Jones. I mean, she's celebrating violence. Right? That's what she's doing on CBS News. And not only violence, she's not just then, right? She's celebrating, and then you at least might have made the case, although it's hard to make the case that racial violence in Detroit and Los Angeles was useful. At least in the 1960s, there was a much more solid basis for the notion that America had systemic racism problems, considering that half the country literally enshrined racism in law. This is the same Nicole Hannah-Jones who said last year that destroying property isn't actually violence.
It is disturbing to see property being destroyed. It is disturbing to see people taking property from stores. But these are things. And violence is when an agent of the state kneels on a man's neck until all of the life is leached out of his body. Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence. And to put those things, to use the exact same language to describe those two things, I think really it's not moral to do that.
Now give that lady tenure. That lady deserves tenure. One of the wisest voices on race in America, Nicole Hannah-Jones, of course, she also lies about policing generally, right? She's been lying for years, saying that policing evolved out of slave catching, which of course is not true.
Modern policing, particularly in the South and, as you said, in certain parts of the Northeast, actually evolved out of the slave patrols. The slave patrols were put in place to deputize white Americans to police enslaved communities, to ensure that enslaved people were only in the places they were allowed, to put down slave insurrections. And these slave patrols had the right to stop and question any black person, enslaved or free, whom they deemed to be suspicious.
Okay, that of course is not true, as Dan McLaughlin writes at National Review. To the extent that modern police forces took over the job of enforcing racist laws, that's because enforcing the laws is what police do. So if you don't like the fact that there are racist laws, then you should really look to the legislature. But to suggest that modern policing is an outgrowth of slave-catching patrols by civilians is silly. Policing in some form has existed for as long as there has been civilization, says McLaughlin. It was typically led by a few government officers, a sheriff, a magistrate, a constable, perhaps a local feudal lord. Right, you'll remember that the Sheriff of Nottingham is the bad guy in Robin Hood. But the old English tradition, which came to the American colonies, relied heavily on community volunteers. According to an article by Gary Potter, okay, the development of policing in the United States closely followed the development of policing in England. In the early colonies, policing took two forms. It was both informal and communal, which is referred to as the watch, or private for-profit policing, which is called the big stick. The watch system was composed of community volunteers whose primary duty was to warn of impending danger. Boston created a night watch in 1636, New York in 1658, Philadelphia in 1700. The night watch was not particularly effective because watchmen often slept or drank on duty. Eventually, the major cities created professional police forces. Professional police forces find their beginnings in France. They employ gendarmes as far back as 1700. The creation of professional uniform police departments can be traced to British Home Secretary Robert Peel, who introduced them in London in 1829. In fact, bobbies, which, as they are known, cops in Britain, are called that today after Robert Peel. Okay, all of this is the real root of American law enforcement. Okay, the notion that this is vigilantes and citizen lynch mobs, okay, that is not where the police came from. Also, Nicole Hannah-Jones is a believer that the police are the real problem for black Americans, which, of course, is a lie. The reality, of course, is that when it comes to policing in the United States, it was dearth of police that led to originally disparate crime statistics between black and white Americans, as Jane Levy of the Los Angeles Times has written. The fact is that white communities basically said to black communities, particularly in the South, you're on your own, and if murder happens in your communities, we're just not going to police it. And that led to these wildly disparate murder statistics in white communities versus black communities. But, again, Nicole Hannah-Jones, victim of the American system, tenured professor over at University of North Carolina, and celebrated much ballyhooed editor-in-chief of the New York Times. And all of this ties into the broader Democratic narrative. Everything I don't like is racist, and everything that I do like is racially progressive, which is why you see Lori Lightfoot, for example, explaining that 99% of the criticism against her is racist and sexist. Nope, you're just a really crappy mayor.
There have been questions raised about your temperament and your reaction to criticism. Tribune editorial used the term irascible. How much of this do you think might have to do with the fact that you're a woman, and specifically a black woman?
About 99% of it. Women and people of color are always held to a different standard. I understand that. I've known that my whole life. And the Tribune or whoever can write what they want. What I'm doing is fighting for the residents of the city.
Okay, so, again, the generalized Democratic argument these days seems to be that if you oppose anything Democrats do, it's because of racial discrimination. Joy Behar, of course, the id of the Democratic Party, she says the same thing now about Kamala Harris. She says the reason Kamala Harris is receiving criticism is because she's a black woman. No, it's because she's a terrible, terrible politician. In fact, the only reason that Joe Biden chose her is because she is a black woman. He himself said this. Here is Joy Behar trying to pretend that Kamala Harris is a victim of American racism.
What's interesting is that this will be used by the right wing to attack the Biden administration. And isn't it interesting that they go after a black woman? They don't go after a white guy, Joe Biden, as much because Joe Biden looks like the base on the right. He looks like them. So it's hard for them to, like, get mad at him because then they get mad at themselves. You see, something like psychological is going on there.
Oh, thank you. That's deep thoughts there. And deep thoughts there from Troy Mayer. If there's one thing we know, it's that Republicans are never angry at white people, like, you know, Harry Reid, or, for example, Bill Clinton, or maybe like Hillary Clinton, a white lady. Obviously, they only get mad at black people. Obviously. Already coming up, the Democrats are pushing a January 6th commission. There's a reason for this. It's political. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so I was at a dead end.
DinoVite.com.
I've been hearing DinoVite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And, all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using DinoVite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
DinoVite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the DinoVite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves DinoVite for 90 days.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart.
Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there.
Heather's arm is in motion, but she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer. Go to TakeTheHealthyStand.org.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have declared a non-bipartisan commission on January 6th. So this is a partisan commission. Nancy Pelosi announced it yesterday. She got Liz Cheney to sign up for the commission so that she could have a veneer of bipartisanship. Liz Cheney, of course, voted for impeachment of President Trump and has been a longtime critic of Trump. The problem with the January 6th commission, of course, is that the basic premise of the January 6th commission, usually a congressional commission, is about what Congress can do. They're not just supposed to hold commissions on random crap. I understand that we do commissions on random crap now, like we'll have a steroids and baseball commission for no apparent reason. But Congress, theoretically, is supposed to hold commissions and investigations with regard to legislation or procedures they can shore up. Instead, it appears that what this commission is designed to do, pretty obviously, is to keep January 6th forefront in people's minds and to link it to broader supposed Republican ideologies of bigotry. Because again, if your entire political party is dependent on casting the opponent as bigoted, You're going to use whatever you can find in order to do that. January 6th is what Nancy Pelosi wishes to use. She made that absolutely clear yesterday.
Testimony from the Department of Homeland Security about concerns that are out there. All of these institutions talking about, well, I hate to even go there, but it's what they have said in terms of white supremacy, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, all of these attitudes that have contributed to what happened on January 6th.
By the way, anti-Semitism is totally fine so long as members of her own party propagating it. And that's totally cool, by the way, according to Nancy Pelosi. So we should just make that clear. What the January 6th Commission is pretty obviously designed to do, again, it's a political maneuver. There's a reason why it is open-ended. There's a reason why it is supposed to now delve into the ideological causes of January 6th and try to link that to broader Republican talking points. Liz Cheney, if she provides cover for that sort of report, is doing a grave disservice. If Liz Cheney is going in there because what she wants to do is use the January 6th Commission to get to the bottom of false allegations about voter fraud and the impact that has, you know, I think that she's providing cover to Democrats, and it's a mistake, but at least you can understand it. But if the report that comes out of that commission is all about how the Republican Party is rife with white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia, and anyone who voted for Trump obviously agrees with those things, because then Trump went on to say stupid things about the vote in November, and then a bunch of morons and droogs decided to utilize those words and twist them in order to enter the Capitol building. If that's what that report ends up being, and Liz Cheney is just there to provide cover, then she's done a grave disservice. Kevin McCarthy seems to think this is exactly what's going on. Here is the House Minority Leader.
Do you believe that effectively by Liz Cheney accepting a committee assignment on January 6th, that she's left the Republican conference?
Well, I was shocked that she would accept something from Speaker Pelosi. It would seem to me, since I didn't hear from her, maybe she's closer to her than us. I don't know.
Okay, so apparently she never even spoke to McCarthy about it, which is, again, sort of a weird move on Liz Cheney's part. I'm not sure exactly what her play here is. And meanwhile, again, all of this is designed to distract from the fact that the White House has some problems on its hands. So the White House had a mediocre job report today. I say mediocre because some parts of it are good and some parts of it are not so good, but it's certainly not like a universally bad jobs report. According to the Associated Press, in an encouraging burst of hiring, America's employers added 850,000 jobs in June, well above the average of the previous 3 months, and a sign that companies may be having an easier time finding enough workers to fill open jobs, except for the fact that there is still this massive demand for jobs, and people aren't filling them fast enough. I don't know who this kind of poll of economists is who decide how many jobs they think are going to be added or how they come to those numbers, but they've been wrong pretty much every single month for the last several. So the fact that they underestimated here, where they've overestimated the past few months, like, who cares? The real question is, how fast are we filling the jobs? The real question is, how fast is the economy recovering? And the real question is, what's the unemployment rate? Are people coming back into the workforce? Wages rose pretty significantly, which, again, seems to demonstrate that inflation is taking hold. Not only that, the unemployment rate apparently actually rose a little bit, meaning fewer people are actually still getting back into the workforce. They're not feeling the pinch necessary for them to actually go back and work anymore. Friday's report from the Labor Department was the latest sign, according to the AP, that the reopening of the economy is propelling a powerful rebound from the pandemic recession. Restaurant traffic across the country is nearly back to pre-pandemic levels. More people are shopping, traveling, attending sports and entertainment events. The number of people flying each day has regained about 80% of its pre-COVID-19 levels. Americans' confidence in the economic outlook has nearly fully recovered. And of course, that is because the pandemic is effectively over, right? If you're unvaccinated, it's not over for you. But if you're vaccinated, then it's certainly over for you. And the rates of people getting and dying of COVID in the United States are very, very low at this point. So that has nothing to do with Joe Biden's economic stimulus. That has to do with the fact that people are now going back to work. The result is that many businesses are desperate to hire and have posted a record high number of jobs. With the competition for workers intensifying, especially at restaurants and tourist and entertainment venues, employers are offering higher pay, along with signing and retention bonuses and more flexible hours. The unemployment rate actually rose from 5.8% in May to 5.9% in June. Despite the job market's steady improvement, unemployment remains well above the 3.5% rate that prevailed before the pandemic struck. The economy remains 6.8 million jobs short of its pre-pandemic levels. The number of advertised job openings reached 9.3 million in April. So, by the way, the number of job listings has actually increased since then. So we still have a systemic problem. And the systemic problem is that we're paying people to stay home. And this is leading to some pretty severe issues in regards to staffing. So it is a good thing that we have more people who are getting jobs. It is a very bad thing that the labor market is artificially, shortages are now being artificially created in the labor market, and inflation is hitting. By the way, the White House's pushback on the inflation talking point just sucks right now. The White House put out a tweet yesterday trying to demonstrate inflation is not a problem for families, even though the price of gas is up like 40% over last year. The White House put out a tweet saying, planning a cookout this year? Catch up on the news. It's a pun. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact. You must heard. Hot dog. The Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish. So how well is it working? The cost of a 4th of July cookout in 2021 is down 16 cents from last year. You may remember we had a meat shortage last year because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Wow, I mean, look at that. Huge. The cost of a 4th of July cookout down 16 cents. I mean, my goodness. Back in Joe Biden's day, that could buy you two packs of Camels and a stick of Wrigley's chewing gum. It's huge. I'm old enough to remember, by the way, when the Democrats claimed that hundreds of dollars in your pocket thanks to Trump tax cuts meant nothing to the average American family. Now, they're having a 16-cent decline in the price of basic foodstuffs for your 4th of July barbecue, even though pretty much the price on everything else has skyrocketed for basic necessities. Meanwhile, the budget deficit is projected to hit $3 trillion. According to the New York Times, the U.S. economy is rebounding from the pandemic downturn faster than expected is on track to regain all the jobs lost by the middle of next year, partly as a result of enormous amounts of federal spending that will push the budget deficit to $3 trillion for the 2021 fiscal year, according to the CBO. New forecasts that incorporate the $1.9 trillion stimulus package President Biden signed into law give little credence to warnings by Republican lawmakers and some economists that runaway inflation from all that spending could cripple the economy. Instead, the budget office predicted a recent spike in prices for cars, airline tickets, other products would be temporary and begin to recede this year. Administration officials downplayed the deficit projections. Instead, they focused on the predictions for economic growth because GDP is, it can be gamed by simply injecting government spending into the system. If the government spends a lot of money, that goes into the GDP. So you can game those GDP stats by simply inflating the currency, by providing easy credit, by providing loose credit. All of that is a way to artificially boost the economy and create what is, in fact, a fairly massive bubble. And this is, as I have been warning, one of the big problems here. A lot of people on the right are focused in on the inflation issue. Inflation may turn into a systemic long-term issue. It is just as possible, maybe more possible, that what we are, in fact, going to get is a steady sort of stagflation or a steady deflation in which the government keeps pumping money trying to provide loans, and people don't want to take the loans because people just aren't buying. They've kind of maxed out. This is what we are saying. Like, there are a bunch of conflicting signs right now in the economy. According to the New York Times, again, same day, office vacancies soar in New York, a dire sign for the city's recovery. Nearly 19% of all office space in Manhattan has no tenants, the highest on record. According to Matthew Hogg, even as New York City reopens and pursues a long road to economic recovery, the pandemic's lasting legacy of a changing workplace is emerging as a major obstacle to the revival of the vital commercial districts that help fuel the city's economy. Across Manhattan, 18.7% of all office space is available for lease, a jump from more than 15% at the end of 2020, and more than double the rate from before the pandemic, according to Newmark, a real estate services company. Meanwhile, we also know that the restaurant grant program that was put out by the federal government turned into kind of a boondoggle. A $28.6 billion federal relief fund for restaurants and other food businesses closed on Wednesday after running out of money, having fulfilled fewer than a third of the grant requests it received. It turns out that even the attempt to fill in the gaps created by the pandemic were a failure as soon as government got involved. More than 370,000 business owners applied for more than $75 billion in funding, nearly three times what the program had available. Around 105,000 businesses were approved for grants, which averaged just over $272,000, which, of course, is going to support a restaurant with several workers for like 5 minutes. So, again, all of the stimulus was directed in the wrong direction. Well, the good news is that the United States is focused globally on making business less competitive. In order to shore up the fact that the United States is creating new regulations and new taxes for businesses, we are trying to cudgel countries around the world into raising their own taxes on corporations, which will result in price inflation. When you artificially boost the tax prices on corporations, they are going to pass that down to consumers. So get ready to feel the crunch that way. So mixed record coming from the Biden administration on the economy at best. They got to cover that with something because 2022 lurks around the corner. And the Biden administration's policies have not, in fact, forwarded economic recovery. They've suppressed economic recovery. If they just got out of the way, they'd be much better off. But they can't because it runs counter to Joe Biden's LBJ type world-beating agenda. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden calling for bipartisan action on a pathway to citizenship for some migrants.
We come out of this pandemic and build an economy, we're going to build it back better. If we're going to do that, we need to fix our immigration system and fully tap the talent and dynamism in our nation.
Elsa has strengthened into the first hurricane of the Atlantic season, already causing problems in parts of the Caribbean where officials closed schools, businesses, and a number of airports. And forecasters say Florida could get hit in the next couple of days.
Our state meteorologist reported that the impacts of South Florida from Elsa remain possible and it could occur as early as overnight Sunday through Monday. At the 5:15 or the 5 o'clock positioning, it was a slight improvement for the area of Miami.
That is Emergency Management Director in Florida, Kevin Guthrie. Well, the confirmed death toll now in that condo tragedy stands at 22. Also at townhall.com, Americans hitting the road over this long holiday weekend.
Almost 48 million of us are going somewhere for the holiday. The AAA expects travel will be up 40% compared to last July 4th as we continue to climb out of the pandemic lockdown. They say there will likely be more of us on the road or in the air this Independence Day holiday than ever, except for 2019, which holds the July 4th record. Most of us will be on the road despite higher gas prices, but they expect air travel to reach 90% of the pre-pandemic level. I'm Rita Foley.
Another ransomware attack paralyzing the networks of some 200 American companies. Cybersecurity firm Huntress Labs says a major Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate appears to be behind the latest attack. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 now.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Some 130 nations backing a global minimum tax.
It's part of a worldwide effort to keep multinational firms from dodging taxes by shifting their profits to countries with low rates. The agreement was announced Friday by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. It also provides for taxing the largest global companies in countries where they earn profits through online businesses but may have no physical presence.
Correspondent Jeremy House says the deal will be discussed by a group of 20 countries at meetings later this year. WHO says the world is currently in a very dangerous period of the COVID-19 pandemic, noting the more contagious Delta variant identified in 100 countries. Officials say the variant first found in India could continue to evolve and mutate, but they are keeping, quote, very close eye on it. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Now, France continues to remind retailers about doing business with communist China. Heath Peters has that story.
French prosecutors have opened an investigation into alleged involvement in crimes against humanity based on claims that global retailers rely on forced labor in China. Human rights groups filed a legal complaint that includes accusations against retailers including Uniqlo and the makers of Skechers shoes and Zara clothes. The rights groups say the companies are benefiting from a Chinese system of repression against Uyghur and other Muslim minorities in the Xinjiang region. Keith Peters reporting.
Solid gains on Wall Street today. The Dow was up 152 points at 34,786. NASDAQ added 117 points at 14,639. And the S&P up 32 for the day at 43.52. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room. It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. So, Joe Biden had himself a bit of a day yesterday. He went to Surfside to visit the site of this horrific collapse, and the search continues there at this hour. The supposition, of course, is that there are no survivors left inside the building for people who have been watching. I mean, it's been a full week since this building collapsed. It was very difficult for people who are trying to get into the rubble, to even get into the rubble. It's very unstable. There's a whole other building standing right next to it, and people have been afraid that that building is about to collapse. In all likelihood, that building, after the bodies are uncovered, that building will likely be taken down at the same time. Joe Biden went down to Surfside to visit with the people who are there. As a general rule, and I've said this for a long time, I'm not a huge fan of politicians visiting disaster zones. Like, I don't know why that is typically seen as anything except for a photo op, but those are the rules of the game. Everybody knows the rules of the game. And Joe Biden doing it doesn't violate the rules of the game. And he handled himself, I thought, for the most part, quite well in Surfside. So credit to President Biden on that. I hear he was in Florida yesterday.
You know what's good about this? We want to cooperate. We let the nation know we can cooperate.
Yes, sir.
And what is really important, what's really important, is talking to Debbie about it right now. We come together. This is life and death.
Okay, so look, the president is not all there. The president is not particularly energetic, but at least he did the bare minimum. Then, of course, when he was discussing the causes of the collapse, he proceeded to just say random things about global warming. The fact that this has become a Democratic talking point is kind of wild. There is no evidence that global warming is what caused this building to fall. As it turns out, Miami is filled with buildings on the coast. Tons and tons and tons of them. The reason this building fell is pretty obvious at this point. There were structural problems with the building. In fact, there was a video that came out yesterday. Somebody apparently had been actually taken aback enough at the situation at the building to film this. They're filming from across the street, and they noticed that there was just tons of water that was pouring directly down into the parking lot, apparently from the pool deck. So in this video, you can see that there is a giant stream of water that is just gushing into the middle of the parking lot. Right? That's not rain. I mean, it was really not raining particularly heavy. I don't think it was raining at all that night, actually. So there was a huge gusher. So obviously something had cracked. This is about 20 minutes before the building came down. That is not global warming, guys. Global warming is a long process of gradual warming of the planet. We still don't know exactly how it works. We still don't know to what extent human activity is causing it. But here's Joe Biden, again, pushing the idea that because a building collapsed, this means we have to spend trillions of dollars in order to shoot crap at the sun or something.
Interesting to me, I didn't raise it, but how many of the survivors and how many of the families talked about the impact of global warming? How much it, and they know exactly, but they talked about sea levels rising and about how there were, and the combination of that and the concern about incoming storms, incoming tropical storms.
Yeah, again, he didn't just bring that up randomly. This has become a talking point on the left that it was global warming that caused the collapse of this building. That's silly. I'm sorry, it is. It's just, it's silly. There's no evidence for it. This building had There's so many questions about this building. This building had not been inspected in 40 years. It was set to be inspected now. There were several reports talking about structural problems with the building over the course of the last 15 to 20 years. The building HOA itself was supposed to spend $15 million on shoring up the foundations of the building. Nobody knew how much of an emergency it was until, obviously, the building collapsed in on itself. To blame this on climate change is sort of an absurdity. Meanwhile, Biden himself continues to just have problems with reporters and the teleprompter. Again, I'll give the president credit for going down to Florida because all presidents apparently are now expected to do this, but the man remains not particularly with us.
I'm supposed to head out and catch up with the governor, so I want to thank you all for taking the time.
Okay, he has to leave. Also, he's talking and things didn't go great. He was battling the teleprompter once again.
Members of the rabbis in the Jewish community were talking about the need to make sure that they recover the body and be able to bury them, give them, anyway. So I think they're very realistic, Mike, but I don't think that in any way suggests that it's too, that is, we should stop. I think that we should move on, continue to try to recover the bodies.
Okay, yeah, I mean, just as president, that guy, and again, he is all that stands between the Democratic Party and electoral disaster. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. Now is an excellent time to refinance or buy your home. Eventually, the mortgage rates are going to go up. That has not happened yet. Now is the time to refi. Your biggest monthly bill is undoubtedly your mortgage. Why wouldn't you lower that by possibly hundreds of dollars by checking out my friends over at AmericanFinancing.net? Some options are in the twos. It's like free money, which is why you really need to look at your loan, look at your current rate. If you're paying more than 3.5%, see if you can drop that rate, see if you can get a lower payment, spend less over your loan term. It takes just a 10-minute call to American Financing, America's home for home loans. You'll get a free mortgage review, where an expert mortgage consultant will present custom loan options that can save you up to $1,000 a month. That's $1,000 in monthly savings. You may even postpone 2 mortgage payments. Just call 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300 or visit AmericanFinancing.net and MLS 182334, and MLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now, AmericanFinancing.net, or give them a call at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300, AmericanFinancing.net. Alrighty, meanwhile, we have some new economic statistics. They show an addition of some 850,000 jobs in the job market. One of the big problems, however, is that there's apparently 10 million open jobs and people not filling them, so the unemployment rate actually went up. Not particularly shocking. The stimulus packages that Biden has been pushing are paying people to stay home. So it's not a giant shock that a lot of people are still staying home and not reentering the job market. Meanwhile, the states that are booming right now are the ones that are most open. Ironically, it is all the red states that have been more open throughout the pandemic that are really starting to just bustle and boom. Restaurant activity in New York City is still not back to normal. The theaters still are not open. None of that is true in places like Florida. L.A. is shutting down again. And this is one of the big conflicts inside the liberal mindset right now. On the one hand, you want the economy to bustle so that you can say that it's Joe Biden's great stimulus plans that have made all of this possible. On the other hand, Biden set up the math here where if you reopen, then somehow you're betraying liberal principle. The pandemic became innately political. And it's become political all over the place, by the way. Here's the thing, and it's really disturbing, and it's not just in the United States. Human beings apparently just want the government to control them. They just do. There is no major Delta variant outbreak that is leading to severe death in the West. It's not happening. There is a Delta variant outbreak that is leading to additional infections. They are largely among children. And those additional variant infections are not increasing the morbidity rate in any tremendous way. And yet you are seeing this massive drive to shut down the reopening in its tracks. In fact, there's an entire piece in the New York Times today talking about how maybe Biden is declaring independence from the virus too soon. According to Cheryl Gay Stolberg, writing for the New York Times, President Biden's plan to celebrate independence from the virus on July 4th is running into an unpleasant reality. Less than half the country is fully vaccinated against COVID, and the highly contagious Delta variant is threatening new outbreaks. The president and Joe Biden have invited 1,000 military personnel and essential workers to an Independence Day bash on the South Lawn of the White House. Biden and his advisors, eager to claim credit for the virus's retreat in the United States, are talking about a summer of joy and freedom. But public health experts fear the scenes of cross-country celebrations, including a White House party with a liberation theme, will send the wrong message when wide swaths of the population remain vulnerable and true independence from the worst public health crisis in a century may be a long way off. Except it is not a long way off. It is here. It has been here for a very long time. every adult in the United States, every person above the age of 12 in the United States, has the ability to get the vaccine today. If you do not, this is a you problem. If you choose not to get the vaccine and you want to live your life, live your life. If you don't want to get the vaccine and mask up, mask up. If you want to be an idiot and get the vaccine and then mask up, you can do that too. It's a free country. Now you have been given the magic tool that allows you to exit the pandemic. The fact that people don't want to do that, that's called freedom, and people still get to take advantage of freedom even if you don't like them to. But there are a lot of people who are just reliant on the government. They think that the government telling them to do a thing means that they must do the thing. Freedom of choice does not exist for them. So according to the New York Times, suggesting the country is moving past the pandemic is a delicate task for Biden and his fellow Democrats, who must balance caution with bolstering the economy and getting national morale back on track. Or, alternatively, you could just say the sucker's over, but nobody's willing to say that. So you have an article from the LA Times saying, growing alarm over highly contagious Delta variants in LA County as cases keep rising. Quote, LA County's top public health official expressed growing alarm about increasing circulation of the highly contagious Delta variants of the coronavirus, particularly as the region grapples with an uptick in new infections. While the situation in the nation's most populous county is nowhere near as dire as over the fall or winter, Public Health Director Barbara Farrar, who's just terrible, said the increases seen recently are nevertheless concerning and are at the heart of this week's recommendation that even residents vaccinated for COVID-19 should resume wearing face coverings in public settings as a precaution. Again, there's no rationale for that. Once you're vaccinated, you do not need to wear the mask. So they're now recommending that people do things that are anti-scientific in order to do what? She said, quote, we have enough risk and enough unvaccinated people for Delta to pose a threat to our recovery. Masking up now could help prevent a resurgence in transmissions. The idea is you, the vaccinated person in LA County, are supposed to wear masks, so the unvaccinated wear masks. Or they could go get vaccinated. Or if they don't want to and they get it, that's their problem. By the way, how many people are getting COVID in LA County? LA County, which has 10 million residents, averaged about 298 new coronavirus cases a day over the seven-day period that ended Wednesday. That's an 85% increase from the daily case rate for the seven-day period that ended June 24th. However, that is 98% lower than during the peak of the pandemic, when LA County was getting 15,000 new cases a day. As of Wednesday, across the entirety of LA County, there were 280 patients with COVID-19 in hospitals. That latest figure is 97% lower than during the peak of the pandemic. How many people are dying of COVID in LA County? Four a day. Four a day. In a county of 10 million people. Okay, but they continue to push the idea that the government has to mandate this stuff. People are addicted to the mandates. You're seeing the same thing in Israel. Israel is, again, it's not a left-right thing so much as apparently people just want the government to tell them what to do. I mean, Israel right now is having like 400, 500, 600 new cases a day, pretty much all among children. However, the entire month, this entire last month of June, Israel had six deaths. Six. The country is 9 million people. They're not talking about shutting down the airport. Yeah, this is absolute madness. It's just madness. And so this notion that you're going to shut down entire societies on the basis of this is just crap. And it demonstrates a desire for control. And the political math is so strong in favor of cracking down on this thing as opposed to freedom. Honestly, it's why Governor DeSantis in Florida deserves all sorts of credit. The easy political move was shut everything down. The hard political move was go about your daily lives, use risk mitigation tactics, and we'll protect the most vulnerable. That was the hard political move. The easy political move is just to call for massive shutdowns because it turns out people apparently don't want freedom. Apparently people are addicted to the idea that the government needs to control every aspect of their lives. And if you exaggerate the threat, then people will freak out enough that you can tell people to change their daily behavior for a year and more. On the basis of, at this point, nothing. A risk that does not fully exist for you, certainly not if you're vaccinated, and if you're younger than 20, didn't really exist for you in significant numbers to begin with. Again, the number of people in the United States to date who have died under the age of 18 is still under 300 in a country of 330 million people. At a certain point, you just have to assume that people have lost their minds, and I think that we have reached that point, or we've become such invertebrates that we are just willing to swallow whatever crap people are willing to throw at us so long as they have a white coat on and act like they're from the government and they're here to help. Alrighty, coming up, it looks as though Facebook is looking to crack down on quote-unquote extremism, but what exactly does that mean? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
What is Pop Earth? Pop Earth is short for Population Earth, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on providing holistic health services and options for those with special needs, including autism and other developmental disorders. Do you know someone ages 5 to 65 with a developmental disorder that could benefit from yoga, Reiki, dance, exercise, and massage therapy? These sessions help with coordination, balance, stress, and more. Learn more at popearth.org. That's popearth.org.
Moose is the German Shepherd, now 11, and he's been an amazing dog. Moose is so active and so alert and hasn't had any kind of health problems at all. He has been on Dynavite since he's a puppy.
DINOVITE.com.
Now, Moose, at age 10, had a litter of 10 puppies with a friend's dog. We kept Lupo, his son, and the other puppies were given to friends, but one of the requirements was they must start those puppies on Dynavite. And someday, if Lupo has puppies, they'll be on Dynavite as well. We tell anybody that has a dog, if there was something that you could do right from the beginning so that you don't have expensive veterinary bills, why would you not do it? Get the Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Facebook is now cracking down on extremism. How are they doing this? Well, according to Reuters, Facebook is starting to warn some users they might have seen quote-unquote extremist content on the social media site, the company said on Thursday. Screenshots shared on Twitter showed a notice asking, quote, "Are you concerned someone you know is becoming an extremist?" Another that alerted users, quote, "You may have been exposed to harmful extremist content recently." Both included links to quote-unquote get support. It is unclear to which content they are applying this sort of stuff. I have suspicions. The world's largest social media network has long been under pressure from lawmakers and civil rights groups to combat extremism on its platforms, including U.S. domestic movements involved in the January 6th Capitol riot. Now, again, you will notice that this was supposed to be a platform in which people could engage with a wide variety of thought, and it is always the left suggesting that it become something that it is not. Facebook said the small test, run only on its main platform, was running in the U.S. as a pilot for a global approach to prevent radicalization on the site. A Facebook spokesperson said, quote, "This test is part of our larger work to assess ways to provide resources and to support people on Facebook who may have engaged with or were exposed to extremist content or may know someone who is at risk." Oh, it's good. You can warn all your friends that they are at risk of becoming extremists. We are partnering with NGOs and academic experts in this space and hope to have more to share in the future. The cult of expertise is truly astonishing. Who are these NGOs and experts? Who are they? I want to know their names, and I want to know what their level of expertise is in identifying actual extremism versus stuff they just don't agree with. Facebook said in the test it was identifying both users who may have been exposed to rule-breaking extremist content and users who had previously been the subject of Facebook's enforcement. So it seems that there is an attempt, it will happen, to conflate every actual extremist with people who are not extremists, and then to conflate those non-extremists with everybody who you disagree with, and then to say that you may have been exposed to extremist content. So watch out for that. Meanwhile, I'm amazed at the amount of celebration that goes on of attempts to indoctrinate kids in radical gender ideology. It's incredible. We talked at length yesterday on the show about this piece in the Washington Post where a mother was talking about bringing her son, who is a they-them apparently, to a queer pride parade in which people were flogging each other on their bare butts and talking about how this was good for her kid. Now, there's an entire article. It is featured on Twitter right now. It is titled, quote, "Animation's queer women, trans, and non-binary creatives are pushing gender boundaries in kids' cartoons. Their counterparts couldn't or wouldn't dare." Isn't that exciting? That now your children will be lectured by people who push fringe gender ideology, suggesting that all gender is fluid, and now will be encoded in the shows they watch. Don't worry, they're not coming after kids. All they wanted was the freedom to do what they wanted to do as adults in the quiet privacy of their own bedroom. And then it turned out, no, what they actually want is the entire society, including your children, to cheer and celebrate. That's what they want. And they're going to weaponize every aspect of American culture in order to indoctrinate your kids into this nonsense. According to Insider.com, when Noelle Stevenson, the non-binary lesbian showrunner of She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, rebooted the 80s classics into one of the queerest shows on TV, Stevenson inadvertently waded into a complex debate about what is good and bad representation. Despite featuring at least 23 LGBTQ characters, including Kids Animation's first known trans male, Jewel Star, the show's non-binary shape-shifting alien Double Trouble was met with equal amounts of praise and pushback. Some fans criticized the character's role as a villain, yet another representation of a non-binary character whose gender nonconformity was conflated with literal alienness. According to Insider's database, transgender and non-binary characters are increasingly being represented within animated kids shows. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that great? By the way, it's not just animated kids shows. You may have noticed, if you're a fan of the Disney Plus show Loki, that recently, in one episode, just randomly, there was a conversation pretty awkwardly placed in the middle of the show about how Loki is bisexual. It's just randomly placed in the middle of the show and then glossed over. The reason for that is because the director of the show, who is herself a lesbian, I think she's bisexual actually, she said, it was important to me to make it canon that Loki was bisexual. Well, why is your own desire to push a particular theory of sexual behavior important enough that it is now leveraged into one of the biggest shows on TV? Again, we went very, very quickly from leave us alone so we can live our lives the way we want to live our lives in a free country, to I would like to put this in every single show that I work on and also make sure that it is marketed to children. We went real fast from one to the other here. Apparently, according to Insider.com, Double Trouble is just one example of the rapid rise in LGBTQ characters within kids' animation, including a newer and more complicated wave of non-binary, trans, and other gender minority representation. While creatives are asking themselves tougher questions when it comes to gender representation in cartoons, they're often the ones pushing for diversity on screen at a very high personal cost. Yes, really? High personal cost, is it? I'm noticing a giant feature piece in Insider.com talking about their bravery. The rise of gender diverse representation isn't a coincidence. Shows created and run by queer women, trans, and non-binary showrunners are largely responsible for the influx of non-binary and trans characters in kids' animation. You don't want to know why that is. If you hire somebody who's a member of a sexual minority, and then that person says, I want to put this in a kids show, and then the higher up say, no, we're not going to do that, they immediately will call this discrimination and sue. Okay, this is one of the reasons. Among the 10 animated kids series that feature the most LGBTQ characters, trans and non-binary and queer characters account for 65% of that representation alone. Katie Krenz, former Cartoon Network executive for series like Craig of the Creek, told Insider it wasn't until after the mid-2000s she saw men and women and LGBTQ people in significant creative positions. But now it's open to your kids, and it's very important that kids be exposed to this sort of content. Remember, children. It's directed at children. We're not talking about adults. Now we are talking about children. And this is to be celebrated. And if you say, I don't want my kids exposed to sexualized content or false gender ideology, then you're a bigot. That's the whole goal. So now it's time for you to monitor what your kids watch on the TV. One of the things we do over at Daily Wire is we are partners with the folks over at PragerU, because PragerU has K through 12 content designed for your kids. We're going to start doing that here at Daily Wire as well. There needs to be pushback here because, again, once they're marketing radical gender and sexual orientation ideology to small children, I think it is safe to say this is no longer about personal freedom. Now, it is about who gets to train kids in what version of morality? Amazing how far and how fast we have moved here. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2600. Or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So I've noticed a lot of focus around the Britney Spears story. So the New York Times brought out a documentary, I think in February, about Free Britney, the Free Britney movement. It is a terrible documentary. I mean, truly a bad documentary. The reason I say that it's bad is because it actually deals with none of the major underlying issues. So the whole thing is about Britney Spears being placed under conservatorship. Her father is her conservator. The reason that she was placed under conservatorship is because apparently she was suicidal. It seems like she was suicidal, that she suffers from, at the very least, bipolar. We don't actually know her mental health situation because nobody has access to that information. What we do know is that before she had a conservatorship, she involved herself in a bunch of bizarre behavior, up to and including violent behavior. The risk of doing violence to herself, she was placed on what's called the 5150 hold in California, which means a mental health hold because you are a danger to yourself or others. And conservatorship is not a lightly undertaken process in the state of California. To actually be given a conservatorship, you basically have to demonstrate that you are a continuing danger to yourself or others, that you cannot take care of yourself. Now, people seem to think that because Britney Spears can perform, this means that in the rest of her life, she's doing fine. Well, there's very little evidence of that. So the entire documentary begins with a bunch of people who themselves seem kind of crazy, right, rallying outside of a courthouse, talking about Free Britney, hashtag Free Britney. It interviews at length people who spend their time decoding Britney Spears' Instagram feed, which I'm not sure why that is a good source for a documentary. I mean, those could be QAnon folks, if you just don't know. Anybody who spends all day online decrypting signs is probably somebody you don't want to trust on whether somebody has a mental health problem that requires outside help. What we know is that Britney Spears was a child star that is pretty much horrific for anybody who's involved in being a child star. I know people who have been child stars. It is not good for families. It is not good for children. Britney Spears was basically abandoned at the age of 15 by her parents in New York, and that was a sin. It shouldn't have happened. And then she was turned into a child star, and then she was sexualized at an extremely early age, obviously, with Oops, I Did It Again, dressed in the bare midriff Catholic schoolgirl uniform. I believe she was 16 when she did that. And she was turned into a sex symbol before she was of age, which is really ephebophilic and terrible for American society. It was terrible to her. It was terrible of her parents. And this is a big issue at the time, obviously. And the way that the New York Times treats this whole thing in their documentary is Britney Spears would have been fine, except for the paparazzi, who apparently drove her crazy, despite the fact that we have literally thousands of people who are followed by the paparazzi all over the world and have never been placed under conservatorship. We know that she became so unstable that in a custody hearing between her and her husband, Kevin Federline, she was not granted full custody or even half custody. It was like a 70-30 custody arrangement, I believe, or an 80-20 custody arrangement. Okay, now, that really cuts against the grain in California. In California, the laws regarding custody in a divorce hearing really favor the mom pretty heavily. But she was not given full custody. In fact, she was given the minority of the custody, which suggested that the court, even in that case, thought that Britney Spears was suffering from some pretty severe mental problems. And then you had all the outside symptoms, right? You had her dropping off the map for months at a time. You had her being put on the 5150 hold, even of late. You had the situation where she was supposed to take up residency at the MGM in Las Vegas, and instead of doing a performance, she just walked off the stage right to her car, and then she went missing for a while. And the New York Times' big sources on this, the people who they talk to in this documentary, are people like her personal assistant for several years, who was hired by the family to kind of be her chaperone for several years, but who has not been that for many years. Lawyers who are not involved in the case and who haven't seen any of the internal documents. People who are online fans who hold hashtag Free Britney signs. And here's my question. Do any of them have any information that suggests that she is mentally well enough to handle her own business? Because I promise you, the court has seen more information than any of these people have. Now, it may be that the court is somehow corrupt. It may be that the court is somehow doing something wrong. But again, the standards for conservatorship in the state of California are not low. According to the Superior Court of California, a mental health conservatorship, which is an LPS conservatorship, makes one adult, the conservator, responsible for a mentally ill adult, the conservatee. The most common illnesses under the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, this is according to the Santa Clara court system, they have a good summary of this, the most common illnesses are serious biological brain disorders like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, schizoaffective disorder, clinical depression, and obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, they have to be pretty serious. There are a lot of people who have kind of low-level OCD. They're not going to end up in conservatorship. There are people who handle their bipolar disorder with medication. They're not going to end up in a conservatorship. But honestly, one of the reasons that you see such a huge homeless problem in places like California is because it is very, very difficult to get adults institutionalized or to provide conservatorships for adults without their permission. So the fact that Britney Spears actually was placed into a conservatorship suggests that all available evidence suggests that she has a very severe problem, obviously, which is why a court found this week that her conservatorship should not be removed. And one of the things that you may have noticed is that since she has been placed in conservatorship, she has not lost all of her money. She has not blown through all of her money. She has not attempted suicide so far as we are aware. Her father, for all the grief that he is getting, apparently has been protecting her from the paparazzi. Honestly, what was amazing about that New York Times documentary was the suggestion that people who obsessively follow Britney Spears caused her to become mentally ill, but also people who obsessively follow Britney Spears should now make mental decisions for her, should make decisions on behalf of a court. If celebrity destroyed Britney Spears, more celebrity ain't going to be the cure. Exposing her directly to that ain't going to be the cure. According to Variety.com, new court documents that were filed by the Los Angeles Superior Court on Wednesday show the judge denied a months-old request by Spears' attorney, Samuel Ingram III, to remove her father, Jamie Spears, as her sole conservator. The documents are not in direct response to last week's hearing, where Spears gave an explosive testimony. Though Spears delivered a powerful 24-minute statement, the judge cannot make any ruling based on what she said, as she has still yet to file a petition to terminate her conservatorship. So she hasn't even filed. People are saying, oh, the court is biased against her. She hasn't even filed the paperwork to terminate her conservatorship at this point. The court said the conservator's request to suspend James Spears immediately upon the appointment of Bessemer Trust Company of California as sole conservator of the state is denied without prejudice, meaning she can refile it. By the way, Bessemer then said they don't want to be involved in the case because they don't like the publicity. The paperwork was solely intended for the judge to approve Bessemer Trust as the co-conservator, but also reiterates the judge's decision to not remove the elder Spears from the pop star's conservatorship. The document was signed after the singer's explosive testimony where she told the judge that her conservatorship was abuse. Now, again, one of the problems here is people who suffer from mental illness are not reliable narrators. They are not. Okay, I have people in my family who have had severe mental illness. They're not reliable narrators of their own life story. I've talked about the fact that my grandfather suffered from schizoaffective disorder. When he was schizoaffective, he was not in a position to make decisions for himself or his family. He ended up in an institution for a short period of time before he was on his medication. Actually, it wasn't a short period. It was like 8 months. It was for a significant period of time. The notion that people who are severely mentally ill are capable of making their own decisions is not correct, and it's quite dangerous to those people. According to Variety, Spears' case has garnered an enormous amount of global attention, with pressure mounting to support the pop star and remove her father from the conservatorship. But again, it is not supporting people who are mentally ill to treat them as fully capable of making decisions for themselves. It's not true. Wednesday's court filing states the court found Spears to be, quote, substantially unable to manage his or her financial resources or to resist fraud or undue influence. Again, the documentary, the Framing Britney documentary from the New York Times, really does gloss over the relationship that she had with this guy named Sam Lufty, who was sort of this weird guy, apparently, who sort of came from nowhere. According to Oxygen.com, Lufty claimed to be Spears' new manager. Her family said he was a catalyst for her downfall. By 2008, the same year that Jamie Spears was named conservator, the family had filed a restraining order against Lufty. In a 2008 motion, her mom, Lynn, claimed that Lufty, quote, essentially moved into Britney's home and has purported to take control of her life, home, and finances. Lynn Spears alleged Lufty took control of her medication, cut her phone lines, controlled, manipulated her. The family believed that he intentionally drugged and confused her, and there was a restraining order, a three-year restraining order granted against him in 2009. They took out a second five-year restraining order against Lufty in 2019, barring him from contacting Spears and referring to him as a parasite. Okay, so, again, that just gets completely glossed over in all of this, because, again, all of this cuts in favor of the fact that Britney Spears does not seem fully capable of taking care of her own life. And, again, letting her perform on stage is not the same thing as letting her, in the same way, by the way, that it's almost as though she's frozen in time. Child stars perform. They're not in control of their finances. They're not in control of their life. Mentally incompetent people can perform. This does not mean that they have solid control over their life or are not a threat to themselves or others. Apparently, Variety is reporting that Spears' father's attorney filed paperwork on his behalf. According to his attorney, Mr. Spears is concerned about the management and care of his daughter. Based on her statements to the court, Mr. Spears is concerned the petition to appoint Jody Montgomery, filed by Ms. Spears' court-appointed counsel Samuel Ingram, does not reflect her wishes. Ms. Spears told the court on June 23rd she is opposed to being under a conservatorship and revealed her ongoing disputes with Ms. Montgomery about her medical treatments and other personal care issues. Meanwhile, despite her father's perspective and the judge's ruling, the pop star says she wants her father out and she wants to end her conservatorship altogether. She said, "I cried on the phone for an hour. He loved every minute of it," she said, referring to her father. "The control he had over someone as powerful as me, he loved the control to hurt his own daughter 100,000%. He loved it." She said, "I want my life back. It's been 13 years. It's enough. It's been a long time since I've owned my money. It's my wish and my dream for all this to end without being tested." Again, she lives in a very big house. She has access to her kids again. You know, all of this relies on a fact, not in evidence, and that only the court has seen. If you believe in the Free Britney thing, it's because you are relying on rumors. The only people who have seen the actual mental health information surrounding Britney Spears are the people of the court, right? The actual judges who adjudicate these cases. And they have looked at the evidence, and they have repeatedly decided over the course of more than a decade that Britney Spears is not capable of handling her own life. So who are you going to believe? The folks who are doggedly reinterpreting her Instagram page? Or a court that has to look at this evidence every few months? And here's the testimony, firsthand, not rumors of the testimony. It's amazing how folks without information want to jump to conclusions. And frankly, as somebody who actually cares about the wellness of mentally ill individuals and making sure that they're not victimized by others, I find the public push, especially from a media that should know better, pretty disturbing. All right, we'll get into the latest economic report in just 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that if you've got a problem in your life, you should just get it solved. Right? There's so many things that we just live with because it's more of a hassle to deal with it than to live with it. But if you're talking about something as serious as erectile dysfunction, you really should go get it fixed right now with my friends over at Roman. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now with Roman. You get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben, complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today, connect with a healthcare professional, and get it taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. You'll get $15 off your very first month of ED treatment. It's time to get that medical problem taken care of. Don't just wait around on it and hope that it goes away. Instead, fix a problem that can really affect your life. Go get the ED treatment you need at GetRoman.com/Ben right now. Remember, get started today. You save $15 on your very first order of ED treatment. That is GetRoman.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll be joined by Representative Kevin Brady of the House Ways and Means Committee to talk about the latest economic report. There's some good news. There's some bad news. The long-term indicators are that this particular administration seems to be dampening what would be a natural boom that takes place in the aftermath of the most artificially oppressed economy in American history. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Our cat Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last. Because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Representative Kevin Brady, who represents Texas's 8th Congressional District. And he, of course, sits on the powerful House Ways and Means Committee. He's the chair of the committee, in fact, Representative Kevin Brady, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Good, Ben. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk for a second about the new jobs report. So we are supposed to believe that this is an excellent jobs report. It has 850,000 new jobs, which undoubtedly is good news. But there's some sort of contrary indicators. What do you make of the new jobs report?
Yeah, so it's better than the last 2 months, which have been disastrous. But I always look at these jobs reports compared to what the president promised his American Jobs Plan would do. And at this point, he's nearly 700,000 jobs short of what he promised. So even with all the economic tailwinds he's got, a recovering economy, he inherited life-saving vaccines, every tailwind you would hope as a president, he's still almost 700,000 jobs short. And the important thing here, too, is one, every month he's been president, inflation is growing faster than paychecks. So American families are actually falling behind. And we don't have the workers we need. The what they call the labor force participation rate, who's back at work, is still stuck almost in the 1970s. So that's why, you know, our economy ought to be surging. And instead, I think, look, it's his anti-jobs, anti-growth, crippling tax increases agenda that's slowing this economy down.
Yeah, Representative Brady, it seems as though basically we are now in sort of a battle between the natural economic expansion that should take place as this pandemic ends and a bunch of policies that are being pushed by the Biden administration so they can take credit for that natural economic expansion while actually sort of dampening that expansion.
Yeah, that was the perfect phrase, by the way. What should be the natural economic growth in the jobs recovery specifically? He's blowing that. If this president would just get out of the way, we would see far more people back to work. You'd see more Main Street businesses being able to hire and grow and survive. And so my view is that he is blowing the jobs recovery. Certainly for families, your purchasing power is down. And if we keep up with so few people back in the workforce, as you know, half of America, half the states are still paying people more to stay home than to go back to work. You know, this economy is going to slow even more.
So, Representative Brady, it seems that there's sort of a couple of competing theories as to what the real danger to the U.S. economy is going to be. On the one hand, you have a theory that inflation is a serious systemic danger to the United States economy, and that because the Biden administration is basically paying people to stay home and also at the same time offering free money in terms of loans, that this is going to drive up price inflation. And we are seeing that in the wage market. We saw wages increase fairly dramatically this month because, again, we had 850,000 jobs added, but there are 10 million open jobs in the United States right now, which is why the unemployment rate ticked up. On the other hand, there's sort of a theory, which is that the long-term threat to the United States is not sort of 1970s-style inflation as much as it is a Japanese-style deflation, in which we continue to try to shovel money out the door, but nobody is willing to take the loans because the market just isn't there for it.
Yeah, so they're, both are a big worry here. I think, obviously, while the Fed and others have downplayed inflation as just transitory, you know, that's not what families are seeing. It's certainly not what businesses are expecting. And you can tell, just look at the Fed's estimates. You know, their jobs numbers haven't changed at all. Their inflation numbers have driven dramatically and longer. And if you just look outside the Fed at just independent estimates, you know, people are expecting inflation to stick around for a long time, and it's already eating away from their paychecks. Secondly, look, the economics, laws of economics didn't get suspended during COVID. You can't push this unprecedented amount of money into the economy, into the world, in the U.S. without consequences. And so my worry is right now Washington is it's like party now, hangover tomorrow. But that hangover, higher prices, lower purchasing power, the deflation of the dollar, all of this we need to be paying attention to.
We're speaking with Representative Kevin Brady of Texas, the 8th Congressional District. So, Representative Brady, when we look at the deficits that are being created, which are unprecedented, we're looking at a $3 trillion yep. deficit this year alone. And we had obviously a massive deficit last year because of the pandemic. A lot of folks seem to think that there will be no consequences for this, because so long as the United States economy is comparatively stronger than other countries, they'll continue to buy our bonds indefinitely. And modern monetary theory applies. We can simply print money and make money up using the Federal Reserve as sort of this universal money machine. What do you make of that? And is there a timeline that we should be looking at for when this starts to become actually dangerous to the United States economy?
So the modern monetary theory is just insane, and I know it's embraced by the socialists and other in Washington, but it's insane. And even Secretary Yellen the other day, you know, didn't buy into that approach. But again, deficits matter. Anyone who thinks they don't isn't thinking at all. I held a hearing at Joint Economic Committee when I led it with economists, both sides of the aisle. So, you know, when do we hit that debt ceiling? Not the artificial one in Washington. When do people lose faith, you know, in America's ability to repay, have that sound dollar, our growth? And their answer was, we don't know. You don't want it to happen, and it's going to happen sooner than you think. So our big battle right now, obviously, is this next package that President Biden is proposing, another $2-3 trillion in more entitlements, more spending, crippling tax increases as well. You know, the big worry here is that, as if there wasn't already too much spending from the government, this sets us on an entitlement trajectory we've never seen in our life. There's no way you can hope to pay for it in the first 10 years, much less, you know, as we know, these things always grow. So we've got some real threats, not just years from now, but the policies we're fighting as conservatives in Washington have a huge impact on that in just a few months.
So, meanwhile, one of the other issues that you've been working on, Representative Brady, is pushing back against the IRS, which apparently has issued a denial letter to a group called Christians Engaged, suggesting that because the organization is biblically based, it must be a Republican organization. We saw this sort of stuff, obviously, during the Obama years, in which Lois Lerner basically suggested that any organization that was religiously engaged had to be a Republican organization. All pro-Israel organizations were basically taken off the table as 501c3s as well. Do you think we're going to see a return to the IRS cracking down on Christian organizations here?
Well, it certainly looks that way for a couple reasons. One, you're seeing in Christians Engaged, this is a ridiculous view from the IRS, but it's a frightening view as well, because every American, I don't care what your political belief is, you do not want the IRS targeting you because of your political beliefs. We saw this in a real way under Obama, Biden. You're seeing it happen again. But here's something that isn't being reported, which is the Biden budget is trying to strip away the Republicans, and I was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee when we did this, the protections, the ban against the IRS targeting Americans based on their political beliefs. They want to remove that from law. So it appears to me they are trying to set the stage to do much more of this targeting.
Well, it's Representative Kevin Brady of Texas 8th Congressional District. Appreciate your work, sir, and keep it up. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
All righty. Well, we've reached the end of the week, but we will be back here with much more next week. In the meantime, enjoy your Independence Day weekend. And remember, all of those who fought, died, sacrificed so that we could all enjoy independence. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Labor Department reporting 850,000 jobs were added last month.
Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says this is above the average rate of job growth this year.
So this suggests that we are playing catch up to some degree.
At the White House just days before the 4th of July.
Today's job news brought us something else to celebrate.
President Biden says wages went up too. He says the script is being flipped.
Instead of workers competing with each other for jobs that are scarce, employers are competing with each other to attract workers.
The president also suggested his economic policies were intended to make it easier for workers to find higher-paying jobs. Hiring in June was noticeably strong in restaurants, bars, and hotels, which collectively absorbed the brunt of the layoffs from the recession. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Also at townhall.com, in Florida, Miami-Dade County Mayor Danielle Levine-Cava says she has authorized the demolition of the condominium tower, even though she understands it will be extremely painful for the families of the missing and the collapse survivors.
Our top priority remains search and rescue. I want to be very clear about that. And we will take no action that will jeopardize our ability to continue the search and rescue mission. I want to acknowledge that this was not a decision we made lightly, and I know especially how difficult this is for the families who escaped the building and who have lost their homes and their belongings.
22 people are known dead. The number missing, 126. Forecasters keeping an eye on Hurricane Elsa, which could affect Florida by late Sunday evening or Monday morning. Category 1 storm right now, bringing very heavy rains to eastern Caribbean. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey folks, Dennis Prager here. Can thieves really steal your home's title? Take it from this thief who stole over 150 homes and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. That is why you need Home Title Lock.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. Oh no, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got 4 mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Heard enough? Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim and enter RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's promo code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
Growing concern over the well-being of people in Ethiopia's northern region.
The World Food Program delivered emergency assistance to 10,000 displaced people in Tigray on Thursday, but it wants to reach 2 million. The conflict in the region put relief operations on hold. Some aid workers were even trapped by the fighting. Now food deliveries have resumed, but on a limited basis. The WFP says it has trucks loaded and ready, but cannot proceed without safe, unhindered access. It describes the food needs in Tigray as catastrophic.
BBC correspondent Imogene Folks. Biden administration planning to require airlines to refund fees on checked baggage if the bags are delayed seriously. Proposal would also require refunds for fees on extras like internet access. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. In L.A., the city council passing a sweeping anti-camping bill. John Scott explains.
The measure will severely limit widespread homeless encampments that have become an eyesore across the city and was billed as a humane way to get people off streets and restore access to public spaces in the city with the nation's second largest homeless population. It wouldn't be enforced until someone has turned down shelter. It requires a second vote later this month. Homeless advocates say there aren't enough beds to house the homeless, and it will be impossible for people on the street to comply. John Scott reporting.
Nation's largest public utility looking at shutting down three of its five remaining coal-fired power plants. Tennessee Valley Authority now considering replacing the lost megawatts from coal with natural gas, which they say is also a carbon-producing fuel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14. 60.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN. So should you. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, so yesterday was a day of panic. Panic! Because the Supreme Court of the United States held that the Voting Rights Act, which is a very, very far-reaching and historic measure in American law, going all the way back to 1965, it was designed to prevent attempts to essentially keep the vestiges of segregation in the South after the Civil Rights Act and prevent black people from voting. It was meant to stop those procedures from happening in the South that required southern states particularly to go through a process known as preclearance, in which their voting laws were basically pre-cleared by the federal government. And the idea was that over time, as the country got less racist and as states began to see better representation of black voters who historically had been discriminated against at the polls, that the Voting Rights Act would start to diminish over time in the same way that we saw the Supreme Court say in the 1970s that affirmative action would start to wane over time. And this has always been sort of a dicey constitutional territory because on its face, the Voting Rights Act does seize authority from the states and bring it up to the level of the federal government. And so the more broadly you interpret the Voting Rights Act, the more permanently you interpret the Voting Rights Act, the more it seems to come into conflict with the Constitution. The same thing happens to hold true with regard to affirmative action, as the Supreme Court has found over and over. They keep saying, well, it's sort of a temporary measure. Yeah, we understand that it violates the Equal Protection Clause, but we need it in order to redress historic wrongs. And now the Supreme Court has come up with sort of new justifications for why it's okay to discriminate in admissions on the basis of race. Now they say diversity is its own excuse. And all this, well, the Voting Rights Act was never meant to be a way of cramming down federal rules on states that had discriminated for all of time. And we are now 60 years removed from the Voting Rights Act, almost 60 years removed because it passed again in 1965. It is now almost 2025, so it's almost three generations later. And the left is still insisting that voter discrimination is a massive problem in the United States. The evidence of this is extremely scanty. The notion that black and Hispanic voters in the United States, but particularly black voters, are being discriminated against and prevented from voting is just not true. Okay, the belief that huge numbers of black voters are being disenfranchised is a lie. It is trotted out by the Democratic Party in order to jog voter turnout in the black community. The reality is that Barack Obama basically won in 2012 because black voters in places like Ohio showed up in numbers that out-tallied the percentage of the population. The reality is that black voters showed up en masse this last election cycle in places like Georgia, for example. So the belief that red states have been shutting the doors to black voters or discriminating against black voters is extremely it is not based in evidence. It really is not based in evidence at this point. Okay, so there was a voter law in Arizona. It was passed in 2018. And what it cracked down on is essentially two things. One was voting out of precinct. And if you voted outside your precinct, then your ballot got tossed because you have usually a place where you're supposed to vote, and it's very difficult to match you up to your vote if you're voting outside your precinct. If I drove over to Naples today and I decided I was going to vote in Naples as opposed to voting where I live, well, then that would be a serious problem. It'd be difficult to match up my ballot to the place where I live. And so Arizona cracked down on that. And they also cracked down on the most corrupt practice in modern American politics, ballot harvesting. Ballot harvesting is this practice where you deploy members of your party to go pick up ballots from third parties. So you are the Republican Party chairman, and you say to your worker, I want you to only go to houses that have historically voted Republican. I want you to pick up their ballots, and I want you to drive them to the ballot box. And well, this presents a couple of problems. One, basically, whichever side is better funded in terms of who picks up more ballots that day is going to win. Because you just walk up to the door, you say, oh, did you forget to vote today? You don't go to the next door neighbor. You say, oh, did you forget to vote today? Well, I'm here to help you vote today. Two, is it really a stretch of the imagination to believe that when you ballot harvest on behalf of a party and you're a party activist and you have access to a bunch of ballots that you have specifically picked up, that you're not going to go in the back and just mark off a few boxes? In fact, this is a major problem in North Carolina in a Republican district. Somebody hired a Republican voter outfit, and this is exactly what they did. They had to rerun the election. Okay, so ballot harvesting has been a major problem. It's been a major problem in California. In 2018, for example, Democrats swept a bunch of seats in Orange County that looked as though they were red seats, specifically because they went out and they ballot harvested. So ballot harvesting is extremely corrupt. It is rife with the potential for fraud, and Arizona cracked down on it. So the Democrats sued. They said that it was a discriminatory law. They said it violated the Voting Rights Act because it prevented black and Hispanic people from voting in a way that it didn't prevent white people from voting. Now, the problem for them is that it was a facially neutral law. The law applied to everybody. You can't vote out of precinct. Doesn't matter your race. And the other problem is that everybody still got to vote. So it's very difficult to make the claim that this was specifically directed at black and Hispanic voters. You could say that it was attempting to crack down on Democratic voting practices at which they had an advantage, that ballot harvesting had been used to great advantage by Democrats, and Republicans were now fighting back against that. But that's not unusual, right? That is true throughout American voting law. Whenever Democrats take control of the legislature, they proceed to gerrymander the entire state in alignment with Democratic voting interests. And when Republicans take advantage of a legislature, then they do the exact same thing. They proceed to reverse gerrymander. So the sort of interplay over voting law has been a longtime feature of American politics. None of that is banned. Right? Changing voting procedures such that it seems to help your party in one way or another. I mean, this is what Democrats are now attempting to do at the federal level, right? There's a reason why Democrats are pushing ballot harvesting at both the state and the federal level, and Republicans are pushing back against it. And it's not because Democrats just want more people to vote. I'm not seeing Democrats really push super hard in highly red areas for ballot harvesting, for example. It seems like they're doing this mostly on behalf of purple and blue states. But the real ban is on voting procedures that are designed to disenfranchise black people. That's what the Voting Rights Act is about. So the Supreme Court looked at the Arizona law and they said, no, this is not violative of the Voting Rights Act. And the dissent in this particular is a 6-3 ruling in which all of the Republican appointees voted one way and all the Democratic appointees voted the other. It's the first kind of major 6-3 ruling that we've seen in a while, because usually Roberts tends to vote with the Democrats on sort of 6-3 rulings, or he tries to water down the decision so as to get a couple more Democratic votes, which we've seen a few times here. Unanimous decisions that didn't have to be unanimous, but Roberts made them unanimous and watered down the decision in order to achieve the unanimous vote and limit the scope of the decision, for example. Okay, on this one, it went almost straight party line appointment. And the Democrats basically now claim that any law that has quote-unquote disparate impact is unconstitutional under the Voting Rights Act, which is pretty wild, because most laws have some sort of disparate impact. It turns out the disparate impact in this particular case is minute, statistically speaking. It doesn't matter. Okay, so according to Democrats, this is a racist decision. It is the racist Republican majority on the Supreme Court who are cramming down a violation of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Instead, the Supreme Court should read the Voting Rights Act as broadly as possible, according to the dissent, in order to rule out a huge bevy of Republican-led attempts to shore up voting procedures that may disproportionately affect black and brown voters, even though they are facially neutral and, in fact, neutrally applied. Right? This is the argument that you hear from Democrats until the last 5 minutes, that voter ID is racist, because they say, well, you know, that'll disenfranchise more black and brown people. And most Americans are like, well, no, everybody can go get an ID. But Democrats say, well, statistically, fewer black and brown people have IDs than white people. Therefore, it is discriminatory. That's the kind of logic that the dissent uses, written by Elena Kagan, in this particular Supreme Court case. Because for Democrats, everything now boils down to a core voter theory. That voter theory is the way they're going to win future elections is by cobbling together a coalition of the supposedly dispossessed to overcome the fading white majority. This has been a theory. Again, it's the most dangerous theory in American politics, that demography is destiny. It is a theory that is pushed alternatively by the mainstream left and the alt-right. It is a lie. It is not true. But Democrats have bought into this full scale because it proposes that as the country gets browner, inevitably, Democrats will not only win a majority, but they will keep a majority no matter what, and that the majority will rule for all time. The demography is destiny argument that Democrats make is basically a utopian argument. It's a millenarian argument. We are going to reach the end of history at a point when we cobble together enough of a coalition of the dispossessed that we will never lose another election. And thus, the only thing that could be preventing that right now is voter suppression efforts on behalf of Republicans, which serves a couple of purposes. One, it allows them to keep this illusion of the new politics in their mind. And two, it allows them to lie to minority voters and tell them that Republicans are attempting to prevent them from voting in the first place, which, of course, is not true. Okay, so according to the New York Times, the Supreme Court on Thursday gave states new latitude to impose restrictions on voting. No, they really didn't. Using a ruling in a new case from Arizona to signal that challenges to laws being passed by Republican legislatures that make it harder for minority groups to vote would face a hostile reception from a majority of the justices. The New York Times is so unbelievably biased. That is not what the court says. What the court says is if you want to show discrimination in law, you have to show discrimination in law. You can't just allege that because a law has a disparate impact, that means that the law itself is racist. Every single law that has ever been passed in the United States affects some groups differently than others. Every single law. That does not mean that the law is invalid under either the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act. Okay, what the dissent would like, what Democrats would like, is to have essentially a super legislature at the Supreme Court level that strike down all laws made by red state legislatures and greenlights all discriminatory measures taken by blue state legislatures. That really is the goal here. The vote was 6-3, the court's three liberal members in dissent. According to the New York Times, the decision was among the most consequential in decades on voting rights. It was the first time the court had considered how a crucial part of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 applies to restrictions that have a particular impact on people of color. But it doesn't have a particular impact on people of color. This is one of the points that the majority opinion makes. They say, looking at this statistically, the impact on minority voters is minimal. Justice Samuel Alito wrote for the majority, said, where a state provides multiple ways to vote, any burden imposed on voters who choose one of the available options cannot be evaluated without also taking into account the other available means. In other words, if the state says you can vote 10 different ways, and one of the ways happens to have disparate impact, there's still 9 other ways for you to vote. So you really can't say that this one right here, this right here, is designed in order to prevent black and brown people from voting. Meanwhile, Justice Elena Kagan wrote the dissent, said, wherever it can, the majority gives a cramped reading to broad language. But here's the point. The broader the language of the VRA, the more broadly you interpret the language of the VRA, the closer it comes to violating the constitutional provision that states get to run their own elections. If you are attempting to read the Voting Rights Act in order to give the federal government complete purview over all voting procedures simply on the basis of an extremely statistically minute disparate impact, you are basically just getting rid of state ability at all to make its own voting procedures, which violates the Constitution itself. Justice Kagan said that the court's action was a devastating blow to the nation's ideals. She says, what is tragic here is that the court has yet again rewritten in order to weaken a statute that stands as a monument to America's greatness and protects against its basest impulses. What is tragic is that this court has damaged a statute designed to bring about, quote, the end of discrimination in voting. Well, again, the statute was designed to do that. The statute has largely accomplished it. And at a certain point, you're going to have to decide whether you just want to be in control. What Elena Kagan and the Democrats would like is to be in control of all voting procedures on the federal level. So Democrats are using this as an opportunity to push their Equal Rights Act, their Voting Rights Act, their new voting legislation, the John Lewis Act. And that, of course, is an unconstitutional piece of legislation that federalizes all voting procedure. You can see the Democratic agenda. Call things racist, because if you call them racist, then you get to federalize the procedure. But that's not what this case is about. This case simply said that some pretty basic voting requirements having a slightly disparate impact over the course of millions of voters does not mean that this thing was designed to be discriminatory or, in fact, is a discriminatory piece of law. I will go through a little bit more of the decision in a second because it's kind of important. Because, again, the entire Democratic case these days seems to boil down to everything I don't like is racist and therefore give me control. We'll get to more of that in just 1 second. First, this summer, it's going to be good times. Things are opening up. You can have fun again. And when you're on the move, you need a great pair of wireless earbuds. This is why you need your Raycons. A pair of wireless earbuds from Raycon in your ears can make all the difference. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great. They feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors. They've got the customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. A lot of the other models It's kind of one size fits all. What if it doesn't fit your ear properly? We'll have no such problems with my friends at Raycon. Raycons are built to go wherever you go with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. Listen up. Right now, Raycon is offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. Here's what you've got to do to go get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Ben. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Ben. Once more, that's buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Get a great pair of wireless earbuds when you go to buyraycon.com/Ben. Get a pair, get a spare. Buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off a great pair of wireless earbuds that are going to make your summer days that much better. Already coming up, we'll get into the actual details of the Supreme Court decision, which found that neutral voting laws are not, in fact, racist. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Mojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DINOVITE.com.
On the Dynavite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on Dynavite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
The world needs more heroes, more action-oriented do-gooders, more here's how I can help right-hand men and women. The world of sarcoma is no different. And if you're thinking, what is sarcoma? We're glad you're listening. Sarcoma is a rare cancer of the body's soft tissue and bone, a cancer affecting tens of thousands of Americans every year. A cancer that has more than 70 subtypes, many of which require unique treatment options at various stages of discovery. And we lose thousands of lives to sarcoma in the U.S. on a yearly basis. The Sarcoma Foundation of America partners with heroes, do-gooders, and helpers from all walks of life to advocate for sarcoma patients through funded research and widespread awareness efforts. New and more effective sarcoma therapies are out there. We just need to work together to discover them and find a cure for this cancer once and for all. Now is the time to step up and fight the good fight against sarcoma. Join forces by visiting curesarcoma.org to learn more.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So let's get into the actual Supreme Court decision, what they had to say about Arizona's new voting law. The Supreme Court majority points out that the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is not supposed to be an unlimited guarantee that the federal government gets to run all voting procedure. According to the court decision, the court first construed the current version of Section 2 in a case called Thornburg versus Gingles, which was a vote dilution case where the court took its cue from Section 2's legislative history. The court's many subsequent vote dilution cases have followed the path that Gingles charted because the court here considers for the first time how Section 2 applies to generally applicable time, place, or manner voting rules. It is appropriate to take a fresh look at the statutory text. In 1982, Congress amended the language in Section 2 that had been interpreted to require proof of discriminatory intent by a plurality of the court in Mobile versus Bolden. In place of that language, Section 2A now uses the phrase in a manner which results in a denial or abridgment of the right to vote on account of race or color. Right? It's denying or abridging on account of race or color, right? Because of race or color. Then Section 2B states that Section 2 is violated only where the political processes leading to nomination or election are not, quote, equally open to participation by members of the relevant protected groups, in that its members have less opportunity than other members of the electorate to participate in the political process and to elect representatives of their choice. In that section, the phrase in that is used to specify the respect in which a statement is true. Thus, equal openness and equal opportunity are not separate requirements. Instead, it appears the core of 2B is the requirement that voting be equally open. The statute's reference to equal opportunity may stretch that concept to some degree to include consideration of a person's ability to use the means that are equally open, but equal openness remains the touchstone. In other words, if you have the ability to vote, then the fact that you chose not to vote in one way doesn't mean that you can't vote in another way. Another important feature, says the court, is the totality of the circumstances requirement. Any circumstance that has a logical bearing on whether voting is equally open and affords equal opportunity may be considered. Okay, then they take a look at sort of how the Arizona law applies here. And what they point here is that having to identify one's polling place and then travel there does not exceed the usual burdens of voting. In addition, Arizona made extensive efforts to reduce the impact of the out-of-precinct policy on the number of valid votes ultimately cast by sending a sample ballot to each household that includes a voter's proper polling location. The burdens of identifying and traveling to one's assigned precinct are also modest when considering Arizona's political processes as a whole. The state offers other easy ways to vote, which likely explains why out-of-precinct votes on Election Day make up such a small and apparently diminishing portion of overall ballots cast. Also, the racial disparity in burdens allegedly caused by the out-of-precinct policy is small in absolute terms. Of the Arizona counties that reported out-of-precinct ballots in the 2016 general election, a little over 1% of Hispanic voters, 1% of African-American voters, and 1% of Native American voters who voted on Election Day cast an out-of-ballot precinct ballot. For non-minority voters, the rate was around 0.5%. A procedure that appears to work for 98% or more of voters to whom it applies, minority and non-minority alike, is unlikely to render a system unequally open. That is simply true. I mean, at what point do you start to say that a law's disparate impact starts to look racist? Not at the difference between 1% and 0.5%. I mean, that literally means that 99% of the black, Hispanic, and Native American people who cast ballots in this particular way in Arizona. And again, remember, that this is a very small number of people. That number is obviously not, the difference between 1% and 0.5% is obviously not going to be the big difference maker here. Okay, but according to the court, according to the dissent and according to Democrats, as long as there is any distinction in the outcome, that means that racism has happened. Now, what this is driven is, of course, the Democrats who suggest that the Supreme Court is a repository of racism, etc. So President Biden tweeted out, "Today's decision by the Supreme Court undercuts voting rights in this country and makes it all the more crucial to pass the For the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act to restore and expand voting protection. Our democracy depends on it." Our democracy does not depend on it. That man just got 80 million votes. That man just won a bunch of states he was not supposed to win. Our democracy absolutely does not depend on you federalizing all voting procedures. But again, this is the pitch. This is constantly the pitch. Okay. Joy Reid did the same. She says it's a violent blow against democracy. So let me just get this straight. To say that ballot harvesting is not allowed in a state, again, it's a very corrupt, fraud-ridden voting procedure, and to say that you have to vote in the precinct to which you are assigned, this apparently is a threat to democracy. Everything, according to the left, is a threat to democracy. Everything. So long as they believe that it's going to cut against them. That's always and forever. It is truly amazing to me that we have gone through 6 months, 8 months of people going crazy over Donald Trump suggesting that the election was stolen, stop the steal, that voter fraud decided the election, which is untrue. And the exact same people say that widespread evidence of voter suppression and racism in voting procedures remains a pressing issue in the United States. There is less evidence of the latter than there is of the former, and there's very little evidence of either. Here is Joy Reid saying what Joy Reid does.
In a 6-3 ruling written by Samuel Alito, the most reliably conservative justice, the Supreme Court dealt another violent blow against democracy by upholding two restrictive Arizona voting laws, forbidding the collection of absentee ballots by anyone other than family or caregivers, and allowing the tossing of ballots inadvertently cast in the wrong precinct. It's the latest notch in the belt of Chief Justice John Roberts, whose life's work, really, since his days as an influential aide in the Reagan Justice Department, has been to destroy the landmark 1965 Voting Rights Act.
Okay, understand, the Voting Rights Act was specifically designed for a time and a place, in the same way that many of the provisions of the Civil Rights Act were designed for a time and a place, and affirmative action was designed for a time and a place. That place was 1964, 1965 America. It was not designed to suggest that every voting procedure undertaken in a red state in the South has to be scrutinized by the federal government 3 generations later. Okay, but this is a political argument. It's not even a legal argument. What Elena Kagan would like, she sets no standards in her dissent, by the way. Her dissent basically says, whenever we decide that we don't like a voting procedure, we'll just say it violates the VRA, and then we'll throw it out. And the court in this case said, no, you actually have to show evidence that this was designed in order to hurt black people. The DNC did not show that in this particular case, and thus the DNC lost. Alrighty, coming up, Nicole Hannah-Jones, prevaricator extraordinaire, has now received tenure at the University of North Carolina. I'll tell you why I'm happy about that in just a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Hot sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these 3 cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or a 4-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our fall semester will offer more in-person classes on campus and more in-person student services. We'll continue to offer many of our classes via our flexible online environment for added convenience and choice. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or a certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your life. With an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill many of the positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan your tomorrow today. Fall semester classes begin August 16th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The Northern California Veterans Museum presents the Wall of Remembrance to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Global War on Terror. To memorialize the victims of terror, their names have been placed on a traveling exhibit. The exhibit will be free and open to the public all day and night from July 28th to August 1st. There will be an art gala and fundraiser featuring works from the veterans and military family members. There will also be a sunrise service and Vietnam Memorial commemoration on Sunday, August 1st. For more information, call 510-8210.
Have you opened your electric bill yet? Got sticker shock? Get rid of super high electric bills with solar from Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer. With great solar products from SunPower and financing available, you can't go wrong. Plus, there's still a 26% tax credit still available. Learn more when you visit powerhousesolar.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Nicole Hannah-Jones, professional liar, has now received tenure at the University of North Carolina. I'm kind of happy about it, to be honest. Now, I said for a long time, I've become an accelerationist when it comes to universities and colleges. When it comes to universities and colleges, I think that basically the colleges should embrace the most radical points of view. They should enshrine them. And then everybody who recruits for a business should just start ignoring college degrees. We at Daily Wire do not take college degrees into account when it comes to hiring. Right, we'll hire, if you have qualifications, if you have work experience, we will hire you whether you went to high school, whether you went to college, we don't care. We would be hypocrites to do anything less. My business partner, Jeremy Boring, never graduated from college. I went to Harvard Law School. Okay, our educational degrees are quite disparate. Our business partnership remains intact. Okay, the very silly notion that if you get a degree from the University of North Carolina, that this somehow qualifies you to actually do anything in life if you are a liberal arts major or somebody who studied with Nicole Hannah-Jones is absurd on its face. No, by the way, note going out to all major Republican donors to the University of North Carolina, this is where your money is going. Understand that your money is now going, your donations. You may love the Tar Heels, but your donation is now going to pay Nicole Hannah-Jones' salary. You should think about that before you sign the check. Think about what you would wish to subsidize with your dollars. Okay, NBC News reports in a 9-4 vote, the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill on Wednesday approved tenure for Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicole Hannah-Jones. Now, Nicole Hannah-Jones is a professional liar and prevaricator. She has no academic credentials that would qualify her for a tenure-track position at a major university. She has, I'm not qualified for a tenure-track position at a major university, and I actually have more degrees than she does. And the vote Wednesday after a closed session comes after a controversy over why Hannah-Jones was not offered tenure in her appointment at the Hussman School of Journalism. And the answer is pretty much no one is offered tenure right off the bat. Typically, you are on tenure-track, and then you earn tenure. But originally, she was supposed to be given tenure just straight off the bat at the Hussman School of Journalism, which means you can't fire her ever. Hannah-Jones said that Wednesday's outcome was about more than her, of course, because everything with Hannah-Jones is about more than her. The fight is about ensuring the journalistic and academic freedom of black writers, researchers, teachers, and students, she said. We must ensure our work is protected and able to proceed free from the risk of repercussions, and we are not there yet. Really? It seems we're not there yet? Because you are utterly unqualified to have ever been offered this position. You lied in the 1619 Project repeatedly. You treat people who disagree with you academically like garbage. You're extraordinarily radical. And yet somehow you have not only been celebrated by our culture, you have been handed basically the editorship of the New York Times now, as well as a tenured position at the University of North Carolina. It sounds like your systemic racism is working very poorly in the United States, I must say. It's working truly terribly. Because it seems like the institutions of the United States that are most powerful are too busy honoring Nicole Hannah-Jones to ask simple questions like, does she know what the hell she's talking about? By the way, Nicole Hannah-Jones, again, one of our great racial geniuses. So she did an interview in which she explained that actually racial violence is good. Nobody should be surprised about this. She celebrated racial violence last year in the middle of the pandemic when there were riots happening in America's major cities. People tweeted out that these were the 1619 riots, and she basically said, I hope so. The truth is Nicole Hannah-Jones has been propagating lies and misinformation for years. I mean, Nicole Hannah-Jones last year was suggesting that violence in the streets is a good thing.
The civil rights movement leads to this massive civil rights legislation being passed, the 64 Civil Rights Act and the 65 Voting Rights Act. And at the same time, urban ghettos all across the North are going up in flames. People are having uprisings. And folks were so confused because there's this huge expansion of black rights happening. But they aren't doing anything about the living conditions of black people on the ground in northern cities. And those people realized that nonviolent protest was not going to resolve the issues that they were facing.
Oh, nonviolent protest is not what actually resolved the civil rights movement. It was actually giant riots in major American cities, which actually, as studies demonstrate, according to David Shore, who basically had his career ended by people like Nicole Hannah-Jones, who decided he couldn't even mention this. He pointed out that riots actually cut against the interests of the people who are rioting. It turns out most Americans don't like rioters. They're not fans. And it turns out that the Watts riots and the Detroit riots, it actually not only inhibited racial progress in those cities, it actually emptied out large parts of those cities in the first place. Here's Nicole Hannah-Jones. I mean, she's celebrating violence. Right? That's what she's doing on CBS News. And not only violence, she's not just then, right? She's celebrating, and then you at least might have made the case, although it's hard to make the case that racial violence in Detroit and Los Angeles was useful. At least in the 1960s, there's a much more solid basis for the notion that America had systemic racism problems, considering that half the country literally enshrined racism in law. This is the same Nicole Hannah-Jones who said last year that destroying property isn't actually violence.
It is disturbing to see property being destroyed. It is disturbing to see people taking property from stores. But these are things. And violence is when an agent of the state kneels on a man's neck until all of the life is leached out of his body. Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence. And to put those things, to use the exact same language to describe those two things, I think really it's not moral to do that.
Now give that lady tenure. That lady deserves tenure. One of the wisest voices on race in America, Nicole Hannah-Jones, of course, she also lies about policing generally, right? She's been lying for years, saying that policing evolved out of slave catching, which, of course, is not true.
Modern policing, particularly in the South and, as you said, in certain parts of the Northeast, actually evolved out of the slave patrols. The slave patrols were put in place to deputize white Americans to police enslaved communities, to ensure that enslaved people were only in the places they were allowed, to put down slave insurrections. And these slave patrols had the right to stop and question any black person, enslaved or free, whom they deemed to be suspicious.
Okay, that of course is not true, as Dan McLaughlin writes at National Review. To the extent that modern police forces took over the job of enforcing racist laws, that's because enforcing the laws is what police do. So if you don't like the fact that there are racist laws, then you should really look to the legislature. But to suggest that modern policing is an outgrowth of slave-catching patrols by civilians is silly. Policing in some form has existed for as long as there has been civilization, says McLaughlin. It was typically led by a few government officers, a sheriff, a magistrate, a constable, perhaps a local feudal lord. Right, you'll remember that the Sheriff of Nottingham is the bad guy in Robin Hood. But the old English tradition, which came to the American colonies, relied heavily on community volunteers. According to an article by Gary Potter, okay, the development of policing in the United States closely followed the development of policing in England. In the early colonies, policing took two forms. It was both informal and communal, which is referred to as the watch, or private for-profit policing, which is called the big stick. The watch system was composed of community volunteers whose primary duty was to warn of impending danger. Boston created a night watch in 1636, New York in 1658, Philadelphia in 1700. The night watch was not particularly effective because watchmen often slept or drank on duty. Eventually, the major cities created professional police forces. Professional police forces find their beginnings in France. They employ gendarmes as far back as 1700. The creation of professional uniform police departments can be traced to British Home Secretary Robert Peel, who introduced them in London in 1829. In fact, bobbies, which, as they are known, cops in Britain, are called that today after Robert Peel. Okay, all of this is the real root of American law enforcement. Okay, the notion that this is vigilantes and citizen lynch mobs, okay, that is not where the police came from. Also, Nicole Hannah-Jones is a believer that the police are the real problem for black Americans, which, of course, is a lie. The reality, of course, is that when it comes to policing in the United States, it was dearth of police that led to originally disparate crime statistics between black and white Americans, as Jane Levy of the Los Angeles Times has written. The fact is that white communities basically said to black communities, particularly in the South, you're on your own, and if murder happens in your communities, we're just not going to police it. And that led to these wildly disparate murder statistics in white communities versus black communities. But, again, Nicole Hannah-Jones, victim of the American system, tenured professor over at University of North Carolina, and celebrated much ballyhooed editor-in-chief of the New York Times. And all of this ties into the broader Democratic narrative. Everything I don't like is racist, and everything that I do like is racially progressive. Which is why you see Lori Lightfoot, for example, explaining that 99% of the criticism against her is racist and sexist. Nope, you're just a really crappy mayor.
There have been questions raised about your temperament and your reaction to criticism. Tribune editorial used the term irascible. How much of this do you think might have to do with the fact that you're a woman, and specifically a black woman?
About 99% of it. Women and people of color are always held to a different standard. I understand that. I've known that my whole life. And the Tribune or whoever can write what they want. What I'm doing is fighting for the residents of the city.
Okay, so, again, the generalized Democratic argument these days seems to be that if you oppose anything Democrats do, it's because of racial discrimination. Joy Behar, of course, the id of the Democratic Party, she says the same thing now about Kamala Harris. So the reason Kamala Harris is receiving criticism is because she's a black woman. No, it's because she's a terrible, terrible politician. In fact, the only reason that Joe Biden chose her is because she is a black woman. He himself said this. Here is Joy Behar trying to pretend that Kamala Harris is a victim of American racism.
What's interesting is that this will be used by the right wing to attack the Biden administration. And isn't it interesting that they go after a black woman? They don't go after a white guy, Joe Biden, as much because Joe Biden looks like the base on the right. He looks like them. So it's hard for them to, like, get mad at him because then they get mad at themselves. You see, something like psychological is going on there.
Oh, thank you. That's deep, deep, deep thoughts there. And deep thoughts there from Joy Behar. If there's one thing we know, it's that Republicans are never angry at white people, like, you know, Harry Reid, or, for example, Bill Clinton, or maybe like Hillary Clinton, a white lady. Obviously, they only get mad at black people. Obviously. Alrighty, coming up, the Democrats are pushing a January 6th commission. There's a reason for this. It's political. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so I was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And, all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
Dinovite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart.
Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there.
Heather's arm is in motion, but she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Furnished by Stand Up to Cancer.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Democrats have declared a non-bipartisan commission on January 6th. So, this is a partisan commission. Nancy Pelosi announced it yesterday. She got Liz Cheney to sign up for the commission so that she could have a veneer of bipartisanship. Liz Cheney, of course, voted for impeachment of President Trump and has been a longtime critic of Trump. The problem with the January 6th commission, of course, is that the basic premise of the January 6th commission, usually a congressional commission, is about what Congress can do. They're not just supposed to hold commissions on random crap. I understand that we do commissions on random crap now, like we'll have a steroids and baseball commission for no apparent reason. But Congress, theoretically, is supposed to hold commissions and investigations with regard to legislation or procedures they can shore up. Instead, it appears that what this commission is designed to do, pretty obviously, is to keep January 6th forefront in people's minds and to link it to broader supposed Republican ideologies of bigotry. Because again, if your entire political party is dependent on casting the opponent as bigoted, you're going to use whatever you can find in order to do that. January 6th is what Nancy Pelosi wishes to use. She made that absolutely clear yesterday.
Testimony from the Department of Homeland Security about concerns that are out there. All of these institutions talking about, well, I hate to even go there, but it's what they have said in terms of white supremacy, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, all of these attitudes that have contributed to what happened on January 6th.
By the way, anti-Semitism is totally fine so long as members of her own party propagating it. And that's totally cool, by the way, according to Nancy Pelosi. So we should just make that clear. What the January 6th Commission is pretty obviously designed to do, again, it's a political maneuver. There is a reason why it is open-ended. There is a reason why it is supposed to now delve into the ideological causes of January 6th and try to link that to broader Republican talking points. Liz Cheney, if she provides cover for that sort of report, is doing a grave disservice. If Liz Cheney is going in there because what she wants to do is use the January 6th Commission to get to the bottom of false allegations about voter fraud and the impact that has, you know, I think that she's providing cover to Democrats, and it's a mistake, but at least you can understand it. But if the report that comes out of that commission is all about how the Republican Party is rife with white supremacy, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia, and anyone who voted for Trump obviously agrees with those things, because then Trump went on to say stupid things about the vote in November, and then a bunch of morons and droogs decided to utilize those words and twist them in order to enter the Capitol building, if that's what that report ends up being, and Liz Cheney is just there to provide cover, then she's done a grave disservice. Kevin McCarthy seems to think this is exactly what's going on. Here is the House Minority Leader.
Do you believe that effectively by Liz Cheney accepting a committee assignment on January 6th, that she's left the Republican conference?
Well, I was shocked that she would accept something from Speaker Pelosi. It would seem to me, since I didn't hear from her, maybe she's closer to her than us. I don't know.
Yeah, so apparently she never even spoke to McCarthy about it, which is, again, sort of a weird move on Liz Cheney's part. I'm not sure exactly what her play here is. And meanwhile, again, all of this is designed to distract from the fact that the White House has some problems on its hands. So the White House had a mediocre job report today. I say mediocre because some parts of it are good and some parts of it are not so good, but it's certainly not like a universally bad jobs report. According to the Associated Press, in an encouraging burst of hiring, America's employers added 850,000 jobs in June, well above the average of the previous 3 months, and a sign that companies may be having an easier time finding enough workers to fill open jobs, except for the fact that there is still this massive demand for jobs, and people aren't filling them fast enough. I don't know who this kind of pool of economists is who decide how many jobs they think are going to be added or how they come to those numbers, but they've been wrong pretty much every single month for the last several. So the fact that they underestimated here, where they've overestimated the past few months, like, who cares? The real question is, how fast are we filling the jobs? The real question is, how fast is the economy recovering? And the real question is, what's the unemployment rate? Are people coming back into the workforce? Wages rose pretty significantly, which, again, seems to demonstrate that inflation is taking hold. Not only that, the unemployment rate apparently actually rose a little bit, meaning fewer people are actually still getting back into the workforce. They're not feeling the pinch necessary for them to actually go back and work anymore. Friday's report from the Labor Department was the latest sign, according to the AP, that the reopening of the economy is propelling a powerful rebound from the pandemic recession. Restaurant traffic across the country is nearly back to pre-pandemic levels. More people are shopping, traveling, attending sports and entertainment events. The number of people flying each day has regained about 80% of its pre-COVID-19 levels. Americans' confidence in the economic outlook has nearly fully recovered. And of course, that is because the pandemic is effectively over, right? If you're unvaccinated, it's not over for you. But if you're vaccinated, then it's certainly over for you. And the rates of people getting and dying of COVID in the United States are very, very low at this point. So that has nothing to do with Joe Biden's economic stimulus. That has to do with the fact that people are now going back to work. The result is that many businesses are desperate to hire and have posted a record high number of jobs. With the competition for workers intensifying, especially at restaurants and tourist and entertainment venues, employers are offering higher pay, along with signing and retention bonuses and more flexible hours. The unemployment rate actually rose from 5.8% in May to 5.9% in June. Despite the job market's steady improvement, unemployment remains well above the 3.5% rate that prevailed before the pandemic struck. The economy remains 6.8 million jobs short of its pre-pandemic levels. The number of advertised job openings reached 9.3 million in April. So, by the way, the number of job listings has actually increased since then. So we still have a systemic problem. But the systemic problem is that we're paying people to stay home. And this is leading to some pretty severe issues in regards to staffing. So it is a good thing that we have more people who are getting jobs. It is a very bad thing that the labor market is shortages are now being artificially created in the labor market and inflation is hitting. By the way, the White House's pushback on the inflation talking point just sucks right now. The White House put out a tweet yesterday trying to demonstrate inflation is not a problem for families, even though the price of gas is up like 40% over last year. The White House put out a tweet saying, planning a cookout this year? Catch up on the news. It's a pun. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact. You must heard. Must heard. Hot dog. The Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish. So how well is it working? The cost of a 4th of July cookout in 2021 is down 16 cents from last year. You may remember we had a meat shortage last year because we're in the middle of a pandemic. Wow, I mean, look at that. Huge. The cost of a 4th of July cookout down 16 cents. I mean, my goodness. Back in Joe Biden's day, that could buy you two packs of Camels and a stick of Wrigley's chewing gum. It's huge. I'm old enough to remember, by the way, when the Democrats claimed that hundreds of dollars in your pocket thanks to Trump tax cuts meant nothing to the average American family. Now, they're touting a 16-cent decline in the price of basic foodstuffs for your 4th of July barbecue, even though pretty much the price on everything else has skyrocketed for basic necessities. Meanwhile, the budget deficit is projected to hit $3 trillion. According to the New York Times, the U.S. economy is rebounding from the pandemic downturn faster than expected is on track to regain all the jobs lost by the middle of next year, partly as a result of enormous amounts of federal spending that will push the budget deficit to $3 trillion for the 2021 fiscal year, according to the CBO. New forecasts that incorporate the $1.9 trillion stimulus package President Biden signed into law give little credence to warnings by Republican lawmakers and some economists that runaway inflation from all that spending could cripple the economy. Instead, the budget office predicted a recent spike in prices for cars, airline tickets, other products would be temporary and begin to recede this year. Administration officials downplayed the deficit projections. Instead, they focused on the predictions for economic growth because GDP it can be gamed by simply injecting government spending into the system. If the government spends a lot of money, that goes into the GDP. So you can game those GDP stats by simply inflating the currency, by providing easy credit, by providing loose credit. And all of that is a way to artificially boost the economy and create what is, in fact, a fairly massive bubble. And this is, as I have been warning, one of the big problems here. A lot of people on the right are focused in on the inflation issue. Inflation may turn into a systemic long-term issue. It is just as possible, maybe more possible, that what we are, in fact, going to get is a steady sort of stagflation or a steady deflation in which the government keeps pumping money trying to provide loans, and people don't want to take the loans because people just aren't buying. They've kind of maxed out. This is what we are seeing. Like, there are a bunch of conflicting signs right now in the economy. According to the New York Times, again, same day, office vacancies soar in New York, a dire sign for the city's recovery. Nearly 19% of all office space in Manhattan has no tenants, the highest on record. According to Matthew Hogg, even as New York City reopens and pursues a long road to economic recovery, the pandemic's lasting legacy of a changing workplace is emerging as a major obstacle to the revival of the vital commercial districts that help fuel the city's economy. Across Manhattan, 18.7% of all office space is available for lease, a jump from more than 15% at the end of 2020, and more than double the rate from before the pandemic, according to Newmark, a real estate services company. Meanwhile, we also know that the restaurant grant program that was put out by the federal government turned into kind of a boondoggle. A $28.6 billion federal relief fund for restaurants and other food businesses closed on Wednesday after running out of money, having fulfilled fewer than a third of the grant requests it received. It turns out that even the attempt to fill in the gaps created by the pandemic were a failure as soon as government got involved. More than 370,000 business owners applied for more than $75 billion in funding, nearly three times what the program had available. Around 105,000 businesses were approved for grants, which averaged just over $272,000, which, of course, is going to support a restaurant with several workers for like 5 minutes. So, again, all of the stimulus was directed in the wrong direction. Well, the good news is that the United States is focused globally on making business less competitive. In order to shore up the fact that the United States is creating new regulations and new taxes for businesses, we are trying to cudgel countries around the world into raising their own taxes on corporations, which will result in price inflation. When you artificially boost the tax prices on corporations, they are going to pass that down to consumers. So get ready to feel the crunch that way. So, mixed record coming from the Biden administration on the economy at best. They got to cover that with something, because 2022 lurks around the corner. And the Biden administration's policies have not, in fact, forwarded economic recovery. They've suppressed economic recovery. If they just got out of the way, they'd be much better off. But they can't, because it runs counter to Joe Biden's LBJ-type world-beating agenda. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Biden worried about unvaccinated Americans.
The president says he's concerned that people who have not gotten their COVID-19 shots could catch the Delta variant and spread it to other unvaccinated Americans.
I am not concerned there's going to be a major outbreak. In other words, that we're going to have another epidemic nationwide. But I am concerned. Lives will be lost.
He also says for most Americans who are vaccinated, the holiday weekend will be worth celebrating. Greg Clugston, The White House.
In Florida, confirmed death toll in that condo collapse stands at 22, 126 people unaccounted for. Ransomware attack paralyzing the networks of 200 U.S. companies. Cybersecurity firm Huntress Labs says a major Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate appears to be behind that attack. Also at townhall.com, the feds indicating they will not meet Boeing's schedule for approving the company's next airliner, a new version of the two-aisle 777 jet.
The Federal Aviation Administration is raising concerns about late changes Boeing is making in the plane's software and hardware. Among other things, the safety regulator is worried about a test flight in December in which the plane's nose pitched up or down without the pilots directing it to do so. That was reminiscent of a factor in two crashes of the Boeing 737 MAX.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A cargo plane making an emergency landing early Friday morning in the Pacific off the coast of Hawaii. Both people on board rescued. The pilots had reported engine trouble, were attempting to return to Honolulu, and they were forced down. A Coast Guard chopper spotted the debris field and the two people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. adding 850,000 jobs in June.
This is a reassuring jobs report.
Bankrate.com senior economic analyst Mark Hamrick.
At the top of the headline here, I think, really is the number of jobs that are added or recovered. 850,000 jobs in June really is higher than what forecasts we're looking for.
On the negative side, there are still plenty of workers sitting on the sidelines.
That remains depressed from pre-pandemic levels, and that really tells us that the number of individuals, the percentage of the population that is either working or looking for work, remains depressed.
I'm Shelley Adler.
Five people killed, five others injured in a freeway accident near Phoenix. Authorities say a tractor trailer rear-ended one car. Big Rig then hit another vehicle. Troopers say the truck driver was not injured. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A major switch from a longtime Democrat to the GOP, Bernie Bennett reports.
A longtime county official in South Carolina announced that he's switching his party affiliation from Democrat to Republican, a move that the state GOP chairman says shows a deepening conservatism despite blue trends in neighboring states. Scott Suggs, who has been Darlington County's clerk of court since 1997, said that he had been pondering the party switch for years due to what he characterized as shifts in Democrats that made the party unrecognizable compared to that of years past. Despite Joe Biden's presidential victory last year, former President Trump still marked a double-digit win in South Carolina. Bernie Bennett reporting.
President Biden telling the nation's largest teachers union educators need a raise, not just praise. He tells the NEA's annual meeting that the pandemic proved America's parents to them just how difficult teaching is. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spend at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Color, that's absolutely right, and working people and people of color. We got class and race in there. That's two-thirds of the Marxist hat trick. She's a bright bulb, isn't she? She of the garbage disposal. She of the bootstraps. She believes it's physically impossible to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We think she tried. We're not sure. Probably, though. Well, happy Friday to you on this great American 4th of July holiday weekend. Hope you have plans to eat lots of delicious cheeseburgers and drink ice-cold bottles of Bud Light and spend time with normal people, not crazy people. I think you know what that means. We have more gender confusion from the Democrats. You see at Disney, you see what they did at Disney. You know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dreamers of all ages. Well, they've updated that because the Democrat Party is suffering from gender dysphoria. So at Disney, that's no longer the patter that they offer before the fireworks at the what do they call it? You know, that little castle-looking thing at Disney World in Florida. It's the Magic something or other. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't actually been there since I was 12 years old or something like that. But I did go way back when, and that's just one of the crazy things that the wackadoodles are offering up today. The list is long, but not distinguished. And it goes from here to there. Boy, I tell you, they're really upset. I told you about the Supreme Court decision yesterday having to do with the voting laws in Arizona, which the left likes to say are restrictive because they say people of color don't know what precinct they're supposed to vote in, might go to the wrong precinct, and that should be okay. And left-wing organizers funded by who knows who should be allowed to harvest ballots and dump them in drop boxes with no supervision at all. And if you can't do that, then it's racist, you see, because that's what the Democrats have determined. You know, the party of lynching has determined that it's racist to not allow people to vote in precincts other than their own voting precincts. Very upset are they. Also, did you see Lunch Bucket Joe? We didn't quite get to this yesterday, but we almost did. Lunch Bucket Joe, again, mumbling and muzzer. He went to Florida yesterday to visit the collapsed building near Miami Beach, and he said, well, like Jennifer Granholm, his energy secretary, said to some fake reporter the other day, that you should be looking at rising sea levels. Rising sea levels probably the cause of the building collapse, because that's the political agenda, and always the political agenda in all things. Granholm said this the other day, and we played the audio and we mocked her, and Joe Biden went down, yeah, and the news media, they're pushing this too, that it's probably climate change, global warming, rising sea levels. But I thought Barack Obama stopped all that, because Barack Obama promised when he was fresh and new, before his hair turned gray, that he was going to, this is the moment, he said, when the rise of the oceans begin to slow. That's because he is omnipotent. He is like a Greek god of sorts. And then I guess that didn't work out. He went and bought an oceanfront estate for, what is it, a $14 million estate, I think that one. Not to be confused with his $8 million estate in Washington, D.C., just behind the mosque, the main mosque in Washington, D.C., on Massachusetts Avenue, Gesundheit. So we've got a lot of that stuff going for you. And we honestly, Joe Biden and the sea levels echoing the Jennifer Granholm thing, I honestly think it's about time to start talking about we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, a cognitive test. Remember when the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, demanded and were successful in getting President Trump to subject himself to a cognitive test. That is for Democrats following along to see how your brain is working. And it's time for Joe Biden to take a cognitive test, because his cognitives aren't working very well, I'll tell you that much. He was never the sharpest bulb in the closet, but to say that he's lost a step would be hurtful to people that have lost several steps. And he is, yesterday, because he had this thing with Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters is an African-American woman. She's a corrupt member of the House of Representatives from Los Angeles, California. I think she doesn't even live in her district, right? And she's got this multi-million-dollar house and living off a government salary, all this stuff. She's crazy, bat guano crazy, has been forever and ever, and everybody knows it. But she enjoys the protection of the media. And she was with Lunch Bucket Joe yesterday. He was sniffing people too. Did you see him? He was sniffing. He crouched down again to smell a woman yesterday. It's like an Eskimo kiss, and pressed his nose. And he was breathing very deeply through his nose. It was, the guy's a freak. Okay. He's a freakazoid. And it's time that the 25th Amendment be looked at here. And some Republicans on Capitol Hill really need to start talking about the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden from the presidency. And they got Kamala. This is the ultimate threat, the safety valve. They have Kamala waiting in the wings. But it's time that Republicans start talking about the 25th Amendment. Joe Biden yesterday, he turned to Maxine Waters and said something bizarre about her running for the Senate. And how she's going to be a senator soon, but she's not running for the Senate. There is another African-American member of the House by the name of Val Demings who is running for the Senate, and it might appear, you know, if you were a Republican, that he mistook Maxine Waters, who he's known for 50 years, for Val Demings, who just came along a couple of years ago. But it was, you know, a black woman and a member of the House, and he's muttering to her about running for the Senate. And, you know, I'm not kidding. He always says, I'm not kidding. And that usually means that he doesn't know what he's talking about. But it was an interesting moment. We have the audio for you. And he's not being called out, of course, by the phony, baloney, corrupt Democrat Party shills that we call the news media. But he may have mistaken Maxine Waters for Val Demings. And then the other possible scenario is that they're gonna give, Dianne Feinstein's husband an ambassadorship in Europe, which she's apparently asked for, Senator Dianne Feinstein, California, that she would then step down as senator. I think she's 87 years old, and go with him to be an ambassador in Europe. And then that the corrupt the governor there, Gavin Newsom, who's looking at a recall election, would be tasked with filling the Senate seat, and that could be Maxine Waters, who also is no spring chicken, to say the very least. But it's a very corrupt party, so you never know what kind of corrupt scheme they're going to pull next. We got all kinds of nutty stuff going on here. Pelosi and the Democrats are appointing they want an ever-expanding probe. You know how Pelosi and the Democrats love ever-expanding probes. They like any probe, but if it's an ever-expanding probe, they seem to like those best. And they've got a bunch of Democrats and one Liz Cheney to join the probe, the ever-expanding probe, into the only riot that the Democrats noticed. Everything else was mostly peaceful. The truth is, January 6th was mostly peaceful. It was much more peaceful than the riots at the White House, where the Democrats injured more than 110 federal police officers, or the siege medieval style, like Visigoths, that they laid to the Mark Hatfield Federal Courthouse in Portland, Oregon, where untold numbers of people injured. You know, in their riots, they killed dozens, they injured thousands, they looted and burned thousands of businesses, billions in damage, no investigation on Capitol Hill for any of that. Nothing at all. The president and the first family had to be evacuated from the White House. They set St. John's Church on fire across from Lafayette Park there, where President Trump had his Bible photo op. You know, and the reason he had the photo op is because the historic church, 1814 church, was boarded up because the Democrats set it on fire. That's the Democrats been burning churches for a long time. That goes way back with them. Lots and lots of church burners in their history. So we got a couple of things going on there. And gosh, what is it, all the people that were on Capitol Hill January 6th, a lot of them have been arrested, thrown in jail, some in solitary confinement, no bail. All the Democrats get arrested for their riots, and they release them on their own recognizance with not having to post bail at all, and they get back to beating up Asian women on the street, and that seems to be okay, on video. And then they catch them, and they release them again right away. It's pretty amazing stuff. And the Democrats in New York, they've got this anti-Trump lynch mob led by Cyrus Vance Jr. Cyrus Vance Sr. was, of course, a member of the failed Carter administration. Cyrus Vance Jr., they've ensnared an executive at one of Trump's companies, and they say that over the course of a decade and a half, he denies it. They say that he may have not paid taxes on perks that may total around $900,000 from a decade and a half of, and he said, no, I paid all my taxes, and none of these allegations are true. But the idea here is that they're planning on lynching him because that's their custom. They're planning on putting a gun in his mouth and saying, now tell us something bad about Trump so we can file charges against him. Now, he didn't pay about $900,000 that Washington Post says Alan Weisselberg didn't pay, they say, more than $900,000, so under $1 million. Of course, the investigation has cost about $30 million so far, and that's just scratching the surface. They're only starting to spend our money. And that's pretty remarkable stuff. So tax evasion, wow, what like a two-year investigation, millions of dollars spent. They said, literally, Cyrus Vance Jr. said they didn't have time to prosecute all of the rioters in New York and the looters and the arsonists because his office was too busy pursuing a guy named Alan Weisselberg who may have evaded taxes. And, you know, you got to spend $20 million to get back $900,000 in taxes. That's good stuff. The CFO, not even the CEO or the COO, but just the CFO, Chief Financial Officer. And it's a scheme. The Washington Post calls it a scheme because they write Democrat press releases and then they masquerade as a newspaper every day. It's remarkable stuff, for sure, let me just tell you. And so we got some of that going for you today. And there's a lot more. There honestly is a great deal of news today because the Democrats give us so much to work with. So much to work with. And again, the Supreme Court came down. I told you about it yesterday. It happened while we were on the air. A 6-3 decision. And it went against the Democrats trying to steal votes and steal election. You know, ballot harvesting, which is an incredibly corrupt third world kind of practice. And in Arizona, the state of Arizona, they said, no, you can, if you have a ballot and you need to drop it off, then a family member, a spouse, a caregiver can drop off, but not like George Soros funded, beret wearing, Fu Manchu, sporting. Left-wing lunatics going around to apartment buildings and nursing homes and homeless shelters and harvesting ballots. That's something that they don't want to allow because they've recognized that as a practice that corrupt people use from whatever party, and they should put a stop to that. And also, no, you can't go vote in your own precinct and then go to another precinct that is not your precinct and vote again. And so the state of Arizona wanted to put an end to that. And the Democrats are very, very upset. Now they want to pack the Supreme Court again because they're very corrupt people. They want to do away with the filibuster because, American law, custom, legislative practice, they want nothing to do with any of that. They want to steamroll all of that. And if it gets in their way, if it's an impediment to them destroying more, think globally, destroy locally, then they want to do away with the filibuster, and now they're back to calling to pack the Supreme Court, to add people to the Supreme Court, which is what, Hugo Chavez does and extremists around the world do, and it's what the Democrats are up to now because they're really not on our side. So we've got that going for us, and a whole lot more. You see the woman is the vice president of the Minneapolis City Council, and she was held hostage by a crazed mob of Black Lives Matter lunatics for 90 minutes, and they forced her to sign a document agreeing with everything that they had a list of demands, and they held her hostage in her car for 90 minutes, wouldn't let her leave until she signed on to their bill of demands. And this is perfectly normal. It's not even national news. Why would they talk about that? Extraordinary stuff. So we got that going for us. And Lunch Bucket Joe, the 25th Amendment, we should start the process, at least, of removing him from office. And you see this Vernon Jones. Vernon Jones is great in Georgia. Found himself being pestered by a CNN reporter, and he took him to task, I think it would be fair to say. You'll never believe what he said CNN stands for. That's coming up as well. AOC, Anthony Fauci, and more. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
If you're tired of the old cable news, you now have a choice. It's Newsmax TV. More than 40 million Americans are tuning in, making Newsmax the fastest growing cable news channel in America. Every minute, every day, Newsmax gives you the real news you can trust. With top analysts, hosts, and guests like Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Dick Morris, Nancy Brinker, Mike Reagan, Rudy Giuliani, and so many more. It's easy to watch. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems, or get Newsmax free on streaming platforms like Roku, Zumo, Pluto, YouTube, and most smart TVs like Samsung Plus and LG. Remember, Newsmax is different than most cable news networks. You can get it for free on your smartphone, so download the Newsmax app and start watching right now. Join the Newsmax revolution and get us everywhere. Online at Newsmax.com, on your cable channel, your smart TV, and your smartphone. Because when news breaks, you need a trusted source. It's Newsmax.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let BCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective BCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-303-2352 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-303-2352. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-303-2352.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Daisy sheds like crazy.
Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Also, the White House yesterday proudly put out a tweet and a little flyer and stuff saying that thanks to them, comrade workers, your 4th of July picnic will be less expensive for you. It's not true, but they put it out. It doesn't matter. They just say things, and then the news media says, yeah, that's real good, because they're afraid Joe Biden will turn them into an ear of corn and put them in the cornfield like Billy Mummy. But the White House yesterday, they have a Twitter account, and they tweeted out a picture with the White House seal. The cost of a 4th of July cookout in 2021 is down 16 cents from last year. That's their big headline. Planning a cookout this year, and they thought they're cute. They wanted to work in the words ketchup, mustard, and relish. So they put out this ridiculous little thing, and it says, planning a cookout this year? Catch up on the news. ketchup, like the, you know, red stuff. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July BBQ is down from last year. It's a fact you must heard. Mustard. See, mustard, must hear, and they misspelled it, and they have brains of children. Hot dog, the Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish. See, they worked in ketchup, mustard, and relish into their little statement. Here's the problem. The New York Daily News left-wing outlet, Farm Bureau, colon, they love their colons. Cost of 4th of July cookout, a few cents higher than in 2020. Now, this is left-wing, Democrat Party's New York Daily News. And they point out that the Farm Bureau put out a report saying, hey, prices didn't go up too much, but it's actually a little more expensive this year. And they say, from compared to 2019, food prices are up 8%, 8% 2019. But they say it's up 16 cents compared to last year. So naturally, and that's what the Farm Bureau actually said. I researched this morning. But the White House put out a statement saying that your food prices are down 16 cents per person for this year's barbecue, when in reality, the Farm Bureau said the prices are up 16 cents. But in reality, compared to 2 years ago, they're up 8%, a full 8% compared to 2019. But when you're a Democrat, you can just put out falsehoods like that. And the news media says, real good. Real good. That's real good. 4th of July cookout, I say, you know, that's stable. Up only slightly, the Farm Bureau says. So the White House says, yay, prices are down. The Biden economic plan is right. Comrade workers, our bumper crop in Ukraine is better than expected.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Rich Pinnell, Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Medical advances have given us the gift of longevity. It also gives us a moving target when we're planning retirement. Because of this, some people haven't been able to live the lifestyle they're accustomed to. The good news? Reverse mortgages have been refined over the years. This gives us a great multifaceted tool for retirement. You could eliminate your house payment or buy an asset you always wanted without suffering the penalties from cashing in an investment. There are literally hundreds of scenarios, but the end product is you could live your life more comfortably. My name is Rich Pinnell with Primary Residential Mortgage, and I'm a reverse mortgage specialist. I've spent years helping seniors with financial issues solve their problems, and I would like to help you too. You can find me at Primary Residential Mortgage, 530-722-4579, or go to reverses.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today's review is Michelef Grande Bold, a classic Maduro stick with a rich, dark, oily Ecuadorian broadleaf wrapper surrounding Nicaragua's best tobacco. Full-bodied and full flavor, your palate will delight with hints of dark chocolate, nuts, and cedar. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. The town of Delta was established by the California and Oregon Railroad in 1884 at the confluence of the Sacramento River and Dog Creek. Railroad officials turned the site into a temporary railhead terminal, laid out a town site, and gave it a more dignified name of Delta because of the similarities of the town site terrain and the Greek letter Delta. Redding and Shasta merchants flocked to the area to open stores, believing it would be another red-hot railhead town like Redding. Delta soon thrived, but almost disappeared as fast as it had appeared. What little remained became a stopover for steam engines to take on water for the rest of the climb through the canyon. Delta still exists today as a very small, quiet community. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this, find Dottie Smith on Amazon or at the Shasta Historical Society.
Well, yesterday it was Kamala Harris's turn in the dock in left-wing Politico here in Washington, D.C. Long story about how awful it is to work for Kamala Harris and how many people have to quit to get away from her because it's so awful and she's a terrible boss and mean and nasty and unfair and cruel, cruel. And now it's Kristen Sinema. You know, yesterday it was Kamala, and on The View they were saying it's because she's a woman. It's because she's a woman of color. How dare anyone criticize her? Don't they know she's a woman of color? Now Kristen Sinema is in the crosshairs of her own people, saying she's horrible and terrible and you can't work for her and stuff. So this is obviously misogyny once again, and it's anti-LGBTQIAA asterisk. Or at least B, because, you know, she's the B word. No, bisexual. She's bisexual. It's, you know, that TV show, The L Word. They had this about lesbians. Everybody liked that show. And then now you got this, the B word, the bisexual word. That's Kristen Sinema. Obviously, it's the only explanation for that. What else could it be? Couldn't be anything else. So we've got that coming up for you as well. And is Joe Biden, how confused is Joe Biden? I almost said, is Joe Biden confused? That'd be a silly question, wouldn't it? That'd be the definition of a rhetorical question. But Joe Biden is confused, and we'll get into that. Got some audio demonstrating that again because he spoke yesterday, which always gives you the opportunity to explain the confusion. And I do love the White House putting out a thing. Hey, it's 16 cents less expensive per person, according to the Farm Bureau. And you look at what the Farm Bureau said, and they say it's 16 cents per person more expensive. But that doesn't matter. That's because they're Democrats. They can say things. Know what I mean? Joe Biden also, and it's global warming, it's climate change, it's rising sea levels, responsible for the Surfside, Florida building collapse because the agenda, always the agenda. There's a building collapse. Let's see, how can we take advantage of this? How could we advance our already existing political agenda? Because there's a tragedy. Never let a good crisis go to waste, as Rahm Emanuel famously said years ago. And that certainly has been the party's thing ever since. That's their thing. You see what I'm saying about all that? And updates on the Delta variant and wearing masks. That's the Delta. Isn't this the Indian, the India variant? Isn't that what it is? The India strain that became the UK strain? But we wanted to leave China out of it, so we stopped mentioning South Africa, the UK, and India. And that's how that worked? Yeah, it is. That's how that worked. No doubt about it. Also, crime in New York, the madness of crime in New York. It just continues. You might have seen the videos. Nice woman minding her own business, walking down a main street in broad daylight in New York, attacked by a crazy person from behind and tackled and groped. Kind of like Andrew Cuomo. I think Andrew Cuomo set the precedent. And Joe Biden, too. Ask Tara Reid what Joe Biden did with both hands. And, maybe this thing on the street in New York City might not look quite the same. And all the, you see, the U.S. Postal Service, a mailman, worker, Democrats like to call everybody workers, is a post office employee, a mailman with a push cart and a blue uniform and the whole thing, was attacked violently and was being beaten by two Democrats. Were they white supremacists, Michael? Were they? And this is another example of white supremacist violence in the United States of America. No? No, it wasn't? How do you know? How do you know for sure? Ah, okay. All right, so, yeah, the mailman was attacked, and apparently not white supremacists. These two guys, they were dressed kind of in uniforms, like bizarro kind of droogies from A Clockwork Orange kind of uniforms attacking this mailman. And the mailman is black. The two guys attacking him are black. And then this big guy comes in and intervenes on behalf of the mailman, and I think he's also a person of color. A little hard to say from the video that's available. But it's Mad Max beyond Thunderdome in New York these days, or maybe just the original Mad Max. I'm not sure. And they have kids lashed to the grills of trucks, and they're barreling around New York City, shooting randomly at people. And nobody's doing anything about it except moving. A lot of people are moving. There's a lot of that going on. Absolutely crazy. And the Democrats are acting like, what? There's nothing wrong. This is pretty good. In fact, de Blasio was out yesterday. He's like, hey, other cities are worse than us. That was kind of his explanation. So other cities are worse than us. Manischewitz. And we have, this crazy thing out of Minneapolis also. That's a crazy, crazy thing. San Francisco is a Democrat city. Am I right about that? I think San Francisco is definitely a Democrat city. And they've got some seriously crazy stuff going on there because they've all lost their minds. I think that's the generous way to put things here, is that, that they've all lost their minds in San Francisco. And I've got news and information out of there as well. Because, everybody's fleeing San Francisco. Well, not everybody, but there's a great deal of fleeing going on, it would be fair to say, because of the madness. Because of the madness. In fact, overheard in Washington. Who does that overheard in Washington thing? But I can tell you, I have an overheard in Washington story. You remember the overheard in Washington story, the liberal who said, I'm fully vaccinated and I know that I don't need to wear a mask, but I still don't wear one, but I still wear one because I don't want people to think I'm a Republican. Now, that's an overheard in Washington thing. Here's another overheard in Washington thing. Two liberals who have just fled San Francisco, because they talk about the homelessness and the crime and the burglary and the car thefts and the fecal contamination everywhere and the nasty and the taxes and just the insanity, how the wheels have come off. And they're lefties and they're moving to, Washington DC, when I grew up here. And there's a left-wing suburb, very left-wing suburb, the first nuclear-free zone in America, called Tacoma Park in Maryland. And these, libs fleeing San Francisco have been told by their friends, whatever you do, don't move to Tacoma Park. We don't feel safe walking down the street in Tacoma Park anymore. Right? Don't feel safe walking down the street in Tacoma Park anymore. And they said, somebody suggested, well, here's a neighborhood you might take a look at. And they did some research and came back and said, we can't live there. Brett Kavanaugh lives too close to there. That's all right. Overheard in Washington. Fled San Francisco because too crazy, too left-wing. Coming to Washington, can't live close to Brett Kavanaugh, can't move to Tacoma Park. It's getting tougher and tougher to be a liberal, I've got to tell you. It honestly is. And with that, there's an amazing story out of San Francisco. And it, it the place is just, they've lost their minds, of course. But in San Francisco, you remember it used to be like the streets of San Francisco and Carl Malden and Michael Douglas and all that good stuff and Rice-A-Rooney, San Francisco tree. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley and all that stuff. And it's always been known for some peculiar stuff. But the wheels have come off in San Francisco and people are fleeing in droves. The local station there, CBS station in San Francisco, poll, colon. They love their colons and polls. San Francisco residents consider relocating as crime worsens, comma, quality of life in a decline. You could just say in decline. You don't have to say in a decline, but that's what they wrote anyway. And Betty Yu, wrote the story for CBS San Francisco. As San Francisco tries to bounce back from the devastating impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, crime and homelessness now rank among the highest levels of concern among local residents, many of whom are contemplating relocating, according to a new poll. They took a poll, so now they know what to believe. The poll was released by the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce and based on feedback from more than 500 San Francisco residents who are registered to vote, only registered voters because, you know, they don't want to hear from anybody else. It found that more than 40%, 4-0, more than 40% say they plan to move out of the city in the next few years. That's 4 out of 10, nearly half of the people in San Francisco. The rest are homeless, drug addicted, living on the sidewalks in their own filth. Lindsay Stevens just finished moving out over the weekend. She said, "There is nothing worse than seeing such a beautiful place in such disarray. I really thought I was going to be sad when the movers loaded up the last container on Saturday. I've never been more relieved," she said. After more than 12 years in San Francisco, Stevens sold her place and moved to the Palm Springs area. You know, you should really look at your taxes. Not going to get a lot better there. "I honestly think the last 3 years," she said, "we've seen a massive decline in the quality of life, and that was only enhanced over COVID. Enhanced. The homelessness has been a severe problem," she said. "People are not feeling safe walking their dog. The number of break-ins seem to be constantly on the rise." Her feelings are reflected in the results of the Chamber's poll. 80% of residents say crime has worsened in recent years. 70% say that quality of life has declined. 88% say homelessness has worsened. The other 12% are homeless. 76% also believe that increasing the number of police officers in high crime neighborhoods should be a high priority. But of course it's not, because they're the pro criminal party. See, this is what's going on in New York City. This is what's going on. Washington DC, crime is skyrocketing. And all the Democrats just whistle past the graveyard because it's not really a thing with them. Minku Lee said, "I think safety is a huge concern. Even 2 years ago, when I initially moved back to the city, I never viewed certain neighborhoods as necessarily unsafe. The 24-year-old resident became a victim himself this past Friday." He said he was headed to happy hour on 3rd Street near Oracle Park with his friends when he was racially and physically attacked by a homeless man. That's because the crazy people either run for office or they're just left on the sidewalks to fend for themselves. He said a slur, too. Oh, speech crimes. "Forcibly pushed me over. Slash tripped me. Like, you know, a sweep kick or something. Really startled by the incident," said Lee. "An overwhelming 82% of those polled said they'd like to see more caseworkers on the street to help people with mental illness." We should just turn into one giant mental institution. Why have a building where you put the homeless people when you can just move the, you know, caseworkers out into the sidewalks? There you go. Problem solved. The whole city's a mental institution. No problem there. And by the way, what is it? Car break-ins? Car break-ins in the city of Washington. Excuse me, not the city of Washington, although it's a serious problem here, too. But in San Francisco, which used to be known for all kinds of good things, San Francisco car break-ins are up by more than 100%. In fact, the San Francisco Police Department Central Station reported that auto burglaries in San Francisco skyrocketed 753% compared with the same time last year. It's just, you know, 753% increase in car break-ins. Why would that be a problem? 40% of people in the city want to flee. People then flee there and say, oh, I couldn't possibly live close to Brett Kavanaugh. But then their liberal friends tell them you can't move to a historic liberal bastion, Tacoma Park, because it's too dangerous for people to move about, right? But in San Jose, they have the solution. That's another Democrat city in California. San Jose becomes the first city to make gun owners cover the cost of gun violence. Officials have not yet set a fee that would be charged for weapons. But this is their plan, the Democrats in San Jose, California. They've got a big spike in crime and murders and gun crimes because of all the Democrats that are there. That's the central problem. San Jose has become the first city in the United States to require gun owners to cover the cost of gun violence. The Independent writes. It's international news out of the UK. The move comes after the May mass shooting at a transit yard in the city that left 9 people dead. So I got an idea. Let's find out who owns guns, and then we'll charge them money, and we'll say that we're making them pay for gun violence. Why don't we charge the Democratic Party? Because, you know, all the people shooting other people are Democrats, and that would be more appropriate, I think. The move was approved by the city council this week, and will require additional steps before they get to their charging people. And they've got all kinds of one of the things is that if a firearm is stolen from your home, this is part of their new bill, if a firearm is stolen from your home by burglars or home invaders or whoever, and then those firearms are used later on in crimes, that you are responsible for the crimes. All right? Now, none of this is, I mean, it's a parallel universe kind of loony bill. But the Democrats think this is perfectly rational and reasonable, and that's their plan going forward. And again, this is chipping away at the Second Amendment, creating onerous burdens, and none of this will be upheld in court. It will be challenged in court if it's not already being challenged, and it'll be shot down. But they waste tax dollars and everybody's time by coming up with these harebrained, anti-constitutional, unconstitutional, bills that will solve nothing. Just by the way, which is kind of an important factor also. Yeah, it's good to be a Democrat. No, the price of food is down 16% according to the Farm Bureau. No, the Farm Bureau says it's up 16%. Hey, everything's wonderful in San Francisco. 40% of the people want to move. The crime, the homelessness, the mental illness, the physical violence. Hey, New York is doing a pretty good impersonation of San Francisco. What's going on there? And we've got Lunch Bucket Joe. Is he a racist or just a doddering fool? Those are the only two options, really. Maxine Waters, Val Demings, what's the difference? That's coming up. Joe Biden and rising sea levels causing buildings to collapse. And they're just, I got to tell you, the level of crazy. The Supreme Court. Democrats want to steal elections. They like ballot harvesting and voting in the wrong precinct. And if you're not with them, you're a racist because, you know, people of color don't know where to vote and don't know how to vote. So Democrats are there to help. That's the thing. And don't know how to use the Internet. Joe Biden explained that, too, didn't he? Yes, he did. But the Supreme Court shot down the Democrats yesterday. So now they want to pack the Supreme Court. One loss seems like a pretty extreme measure. But that's them. They're the Democrat Party. Also, President Trump and Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed on January 6th at the Pentagon. That's coming up as well. 888-630-9625.
Latinx, they're worried that they'll be vaccinated and deported.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Mojo would swallow things whole. A chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DinoVite.com.
On the DinoVite, all of these symptoms disappear.
DinoVite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on DinoVite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Meet Bob Minetti. In 2016, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Bob participated in a clinical trial that included cutting-edge radiation therapy and surgery. He's been in remission since completion. I'm Keisha Sharp. Since losing my mother to pancreatic cancer, I've been working to share the kind of state-of-the-art work being done by Stand Up to Cancer and Lustgarten Foundation. To learn more about the latest research, including clinical trials, visit pancreaticcancercollective.org.
Ah, yes. I have, I guess I got it a couple of days ago. In the mail, my copy of Imprimus. Do you get Imprimus? It's a publication of Hillsdale College. It's wonderful. We get it, every time they send it out, we get it. And a fun piece by Mark Stein. You know Mark Stein. he's an American citizen, I guess, but he's originally, got a funny accent, British-Canadian-American. Mark Stein, smart guy, fun guy. And he wrote a piece for Imprimus, the Hillsdale College publication. And the headline, I'm not going to read you the whole thing, the headline is, and this kind of sums it up pretty well, our increasingly unrecognizable civilization. Our increasingly unrecognizable civilization. And I saw the headline, I said, boy, you know, that pretty well sums it up. If, people are, well, what's your problem? What do you think is going, why are people upset? Well, because we're watching our entire civilization be pulled inside out by gangs of organized lunatics who are suffering from gender dysphoria and don't understand history or the present or the news or the function of America, the purpose of America. Freedoms, liberties, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, independence, they don't understand a lot of those things. Pretty much any of those things, as a matter of fact. I mentioned that President Trump, but I just like the, and it's a great piece, of course, smart guy, our increasingly unrecognizable civilization. And that's something that has some people a little bit miffed. Democrats don't quite get that, of course. You may recall, the Democrats, they're creating this commission to look into the one riot and one riot only. They had hundreds of riots in the course of a year. No congressional investigation into those. Attacking federal property and federal officers and the White House and federal courts. No investigation of those. One investigation. President Trump weighed in on that.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.